become a patron of Entertainment Landfill. Go to patreon.com/landfill for details. Entertainment Landfill is made possible by contributions from listeners like you. Thank you.
Sometimes I wish I could boldly go where no man's gone before.
Can I help you, sir?
I kinda want something other to eat.
Mm-hmm. Well, what would you like?
You got any biscuits for sale in there?
Well, no, this here's a Frosty cream. We don't serve biscuits. We got a lot of other stuff, though.
What you got in there is good to eat.
Well, we got big cheap burgers, bongo burgers, footlongs, corny dogs, frosty shakes, creamy bars. Did you want me to go through the whole list?
Reckon what you like to eat in there.
Well, the French fries are pretty good.
French fried potatoes?
Yep, French fries.
How much you want for them?
Well, they're 60 for the medium and 75 for large.
I reckon I'll have me some of the big ones.
All right, then, one large French fries.
You're listening to Entertainment Landfill. Film, television, pop culture. It's where you find it.
Yes, officer, is there something wrong?
Have you seen this boy?
Ah!
Ah! Hello, is this NASA?
Yes.
Good. Listen, I'm sick of your boring space launches. Now, I'm just an ordinary blue-collar slob, but I know what I like's on TV.
How did you get this number?
Shut up! And another thing, how come I can't get no Tang around here? And also,
hold on a second.
Jolly Green Giants, Shitty Beatles.
The Shitty Beatles, are they any good?
They suck.
But it's not just a clever name. Who else?
Crucial Taunt, and they're just finishing the set.
I hear they can wail.
You're right. Party on.
Party on.
Yo.
TV respects me. It laughs with me, not at me.
You stupid.
Don't!
Yeah! Woohoo!
Hello, everyone. It is Friday. That means it's time for Entertainment Landfill. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another show, another Friday. Film, television, pop culture is what we do. And when I mean we, I don't mean just me, the J-Strom. I also do it here with Steven, the pop culture zealot.
Hey, what's happening?
Hello, Steven.
Hey.
We also have here Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry historian.
Hello.
Hey, Bill, what's up?
Not a whole lot.
All right. Did you like that? Can't get no tang around here, Bill.
You can't. What? Who does he call? Nassau?
Nassau? Yeah. You know what's funny? When Steven and I were there visiting the Space Center.
Hello, at Nassau?
Yeah, when we were at Nassau, we did wonder where the presence of Tang was.
There was no Tang booth, like a Julius
the Tang. History of Tang Wing, like a whole part of the area was dedicated to Tang. Nothing. No mention of it. When I was a kid, I thought Tang was part of being an astronaut, you know?
How did that end up? Was that Tang that actually developed that advertising strategy? Because I don't think Tang really had anything to do with the space program.
Yeah, it went in space for their drink.
Yeah, that's what we thought by their commercial, but I don't know.
That's a falsehood. It may have gone to space, but it wasn't developed for the space program.
I didn't say it was developed for space. It was.
Shut up!
Homer!
Homer! Jeez.
Hello, yeah, I mean, it was developed in 1957.
Right.
Yeah, and sales of Tang were poor until NASA used it on John Glenn's Mercury flight and subsequent Gemini missions, but it wasn't developed for the space program.
Right. I think it was just something as a kid, we saw the commercials. They made
astronauts.
Us think that astronauts drink Tang, and it was programmed into our brains.
Yeah, I loved Tang.
Yeah, whenever I got it, it was like a special thing. And I swear, when I was a kid, just like the astronauts drink. That's what I thought as I was drinking it. It was all a lie!
Yeah,
bastards!
I think I was born too late for the just what the astronauts drink thing. To me, it was just what we called it orange drink.
When I tell people these stories, they don't believe me. They think like I'm a liar.
Yeah, that's true, buddy. Buddy? What the hell's Buddy doing on the show all of
He's
a sudden?
He's making a Tang cake.
Yeah. Oh, I want to see that.
I'd eat that.
Tang anniversary cake. And I bet you he makes a space shuttle out of fondant. And they're like, Buddy, no. NASA has severed all ties with Tang. You can't do that. No.
Hello,
but it's Tang filling.
I mean, NASA. But, hey, guys, Patreon is still going pretty good. It's been a fun week. Last Friday, I believe, Bill, if you remember this, we were at 19 patrons.
Yes.
And this week we are at 29 patrons.
Come on, people. We'll open them wallets.
We'll never hit a round number at the time of the show.
We have to hit that first milestone. It's crucial.
Yeah, we still got to hit that first milestone, but I want to say thank you to everyone who became a patron this week also. It's awesome. We're still getting the word out there. The way I look at it, Bill, is the journey of this summer, we will be trying to get patrons, and we'll be trying to crank out as many awesome hours of show as we can in a way to lure people into becoming patrons. Like, okay, you haven't decided to be a patron yet. Just wait. We're going to keep coming out with shows, and hopefully we'll go, you know what? Okay. That, you know, maybe we can win them over, Bill and Steven.
Hopefully we can.
Yeah, I hope we can.
And you shared a couple really nice, at least one really nice email with me from a new patron. And it's you don't really think about how long we've been around and who has listened to us. And
right.
We've been there for a lot of people through a lot of really difficult times. And the email that you shared with me, like, really touched me. I was like, wow. So we're not just sort of throwing this into the ether. It's actually, people are actually digesting it, and we're there to comfort. And it was really interesting.
Yes. It means a lot.
Yeah, I didn't know how to describe it. I was speechless.
Yeah, I don't think I think it was like a personal note to us. I don't think, but just someone who I don't think I'd ever heard from this person before, told me that the show, since we've been doing it since 2005, has meant a lot to them through the ups and downs of their life, and just told us how much they appreciated the show, and it meant a lot to us.
It was pretty incredible.
It's pretty awesome knowing that we kind of forget, you know, we do the show and we put it out there, and I wonder, and that's one thing that's great about Patreon, you know, that someone is willing to become a patron to support the show. That's how much they like the show, and mm-hmm. that means so much to us. And to get for someone to tell us how much it means a lot. Because honestly, we don't know until you tell us.
And we really don't. We're flying blind.
And it's like fuel. It's like, oh my God, now we're going to do a show this Friday because this person, they've got to have this show. You know, I want them to have it, and I hope they enjoy it. You know what I mean?
We want you to have it.
How come I can't get no Tang around here?
I don't know. I can't find it anywhere. I'm going to go look for Tang after the show, Steven. Is it still on shelves, Bill?
It's got to be.
Yeah, they still sell it. I was looking up.
Oh, there's a new version, though.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's been discontinued. Oh, the lower calorie one was discontinued.
Stupid.
It's so funny. They keep changing it.
Why?
Like, why in 2007, they changed it, replaced half the sugar with artificial sweeteners.
Boo.
In 2009, another version emerged with less.
Boo.
Yeah, I mean, come on. Just leave the original, you know, the original instant. What did they call it? A breakfast drink?
I want to ask you this. Did you guys ever do this? Get a spoon and eat it?
Yeah.
And just crunch on the little granules in your teeth.
Same with Quick. I mean, there's pictures of me and my sister on Facebook with chocolate Quick smeared all over our faces.
I kind of want something other day.
I take the powder Quick and put it on ice cream like chocolate sauce.
Well, Carl, we got some Tang in here.
What you got in there is good to eat.
Tang. I just said that. Carl?
It's orange and crunchy.
It's really good.
Tangy.
What else do we got?
You got Big Cheap Burgers, Bongo Burgers, Footlongs, Corny Dogs, Frosty Shakes, Creamy Bars.
I want a Bongo Burger.
I'll take one of them biggins.
Now, Bill, I want to ask you something about a game. Because I'm really envious that you got to play the alpha to Bungie's new game. Who, people don't know, Bungie created the Halo series. They have a new game that they've spent like $50 million making, I think, right? Something like that.
Probably more.
And it's called Destiny.
Density.
Bill.
Density.
Yeah, it's called Density. And you got to play it.
I did get to play it.
Great. My density has brought me to you.
I didn't get to play it long because I kind of jumped in with, like, I think 24 hours left on the alpha. Because I'd kind of forgotten about it. I got the email, and then I was like, oh, I'm going to have to set that aside and remember. Right. And then I remembered, and I was like, oh, shit, I got to go download that on the PS4. And it took forever because the connection kept dropping out. I guess it was really popular. But, I played it. It's really cool. It felt like... When you're playing kind of through the missions, it feels like Borderlands, but a more sci-fi, hardcore version of Borderlands, not jokey and cel-shaded.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say is basically the game Borderlands is – it's not an MMO, but it could easily be an MMO. It's like – has the mechanics of a multi-online kind of game where you – you and your buddy, I think, is it up to four people can play or is it three? I can't remember.
No, it's four.
Four people can go and you go on missions and you get missions from NPCs. And there's all sorts of loot in the game, different kinds of guns. You go to vendors. So it's basically just like an MMO, only it's not. Then the game Defiance came out, which the TV show is based on. And it's like they stole everything from Borderlands but turned it into an MMO with hundreds of thousands of players playing, right?
And made it shittier. Honestly, the game mechanic
Defiance.
Defiance. All these D names are discombobulating. Even you were like, hey, Defiance is back. I'm going to log in. you log in and you're like, I can't even remember how to upgrade the weapons. This is too complicated. It's not user friendly at all.
It's got fun mechanics, like playing it and shooting things is fun. The whole doing mods and stuff like that drives me nuts because I have like an hour to play and I haven't even played because I'm messing with menu screens, you know, like adding stuff, taking off my guns and stuff like that. But that's just part of those kind of games. But then Destiny comes out, and it looks like Halo-ish with Borderlands, like, morphed together, right?
Absolutely, yeah. It's very Halo-ish Borderlands, but it's got this really cool history. Like, the first mission they throw you into is you have to collect something from this lunar station where, I don't know how long ago in the history of the Earth, people were going to the moon base from here, and it's just kind of abandoned. There's this shuttle on the launch pad, and you have to get through these group of, I don't know if they're mutants or aliens or what's going on with the whole story, but they're called the Fallen. And you have to work your way through them over to this lunar station and kind of find what you're looking for. But I was so engrossed in, like, just exploring, almost like a, because the world's so huge, that I, like, probably spent 3 hours on a mission that should have took 10 minutes.
Because you wanted to explore?
I just wanted to explore and kind of, in what you would call, I guess, grind, like, kind of build up my level. But I guess the way the alpha is, they make it so that they want you to play the mission. They don't want you to kind of go off and do your own thing. So I'm going around killing things, and I realized that I hadn't leveled at all. And I was like, oh, I just killed a ton of these things. Like, I was taking on things, like, three times bigger than me. And I was like, oh, okay, so I guess I'm not going to get anything for this. I better complete the mission. So I complete the mission, and then you kind of get your new gear, your new gauntlets and chest plate and new gun, and you go to the orbit station, and that's where all the vendors are. That's like the public gathering spot and then you have to go find your trainer, just like an MMO. And then from there you can go back to orbit in your ship and then choose to go to a different area, or you can go to the PvP area, which I forget what it's called, but that's just basically one giant deathmatch. And the mechanics of it is perfect. It's flawless. Like, it's like playing basically Titanfall without the Titans, of course, or like a futuristic Call of Duty. But it's a blast. It's most of the time whenever we would play a MMO, we would be PvE. Right. You know, the what is it? People versus environment? Player versus environment? The PvP stuff was always just kind of boring to us, or we didn't think we had enough skill to involve in it. But I went there and
ass kicked.
We would always get. Remember playing Star Wars Galaxies and we'd see the idiots like the Terry Cossey or Terris Cossey guys fighting and be like, "What is even going on? How do they?" You know, it made no sense.
Mm-hmm.
But I went over to the PvP and it's the deathmatch and it's really fun and it's guys just running all over the place and shooting things up. And I even sent you a video of a guy that was really good at it. I guess some of these guys were playing like 14 to 16 hours a day.
Was that PvP? That
yeah, that was PvP. That
oh,
was
I had
the,
no
the,
idea.
Yeah, that was the arena. That wasn't the in-game stuff.
Oh, cool. He kept like throwing like a knife at people, and I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, there's all kinds of things you do. It's the game is going to be huge. They have put so much thought into it that it's almost overwhelming.
Wow.
So I'm really, really looking forward to it.
And you haven't seen even that many, like, you have weapons in it, like guns and stuff, but also you have powers too, right?
Yeah, and I haven't, because as you level up, you then choose your tree, like how you're going to go in your skills. You know, like any MMO, you select which areas you're going to go. And I went gunslinger because I can't resist that.
Nice.
Sometimes I wish I could boldly go where no man's gone before.
Okay. Yeah, and eventually you start developing powers and extra skills. Yeah, I only played it probably 3 or 4 hours, but there were people that really invested a ton of time into it.
It sounds awesome. I can't wait to play it. And here's the thing. You're probably going to get it on the PS4, aren't you?
Because not if you don't have a PS4 by then. You have to remember this is late September that it's coming out. Right. You know, you might end up getting a PS4 for your birthday.
Well, that's October.
From someone. Well, hey. You never know.
Because
if someone was going to get a PS4 for their birthday, they would get the white one with Destiny.
Oh, is there a special model like that?
Yeah, there's a white PS4. It's beautiful.
Whoa. See, because most likely right now I'm going to get an Xbox One.
Yeah, I would get it. If you didn't have one by then, or if, you know, money was tight, I would just get it on Xbox One.
Oh, shit, it did turn on when I said that. Damn it.
What?
I was just goofing around. I said Xbox On, and it came on. You piece of stop listening to me. Because I've been noticing all week when that Aaron Paul commercial comes on, I'm like, well, shit, it did turn on. It depends on how loud the volume is, but yeah, most of the time it does turn it on.
It's a pain in the ass.
There's a feature where you can go in and turn it off, but I haven't even messed with it, you know?
I turned it off. After last week, it kept turning on and off, so I went in and turned it off while I was playing Wolfenstein.
Yeah, you've been playing Wolfenstein, too. How's that?
I want to finish it. It's driving me crazy.
You stupid.
Hey.
This game is freaking hardcore, man. When I heard that they were making a Wolfenstein, I wasn't really that excited. But when I started playing it, the story is so freaking good and cinematic that I just want to finish it. It's like reading a book, but it's the most irritating book ever because it's so hard, even on normal.
Yeah.
Because I have this thing where I always start a game on hard, and you yell at me about it. Because I end up not enjoying the game as much.
Yeah, I just played on normal.
Yeah, so I went from I Am Death Incarnate to whatever normal is.
I'm an average person.
Yes, I'm.
That's the way I play games. I'm just guns, a dude.
Yeah, guns don't kill people. I do.
How come I can't get no Tang around here?
But yeah, it's just such a good story. You know, the whole idea that we lose the World War II and... the B.J. Blazkowicz character kind of comes to in 1960 and then has to liberate all the guys that his special team of guys that were captured by the Nazis. And now you're part of this resistance. You have to take down these like superior technology Nazis.
It's kind of like in a Star Trek episode or something.
Yeah. I mean, it's real, but it's super dark Nazis. And disturbing. Mm-hmm.
Wow. And the graphics look amazing, too.
Yeah, they're really good. And the cutscenes, at times, I have a bit of a pet peeve about long cutscenes. That's why I never play the Metal Gear games, because it's just irritating. And I guess it's because I don't care about that story. It just doesn't appeal to me. But this has, like, one where there will be, like, a cutscene that's, like, 15 minutes long. And when the cutscene's over, I'm like, damn it, I got to start playing again. Like, right, it's that good.
That's cool, because, yeah... I like cutscenes if I like the story. If I'm not into the story, I'm just like, come on, can I skip this shit? You know,
I would love to see this in movie form. It's perfect.
Cool.
Yeah, the story's really good. The gameplay's kind of wonky. I never use the dual wield because it's just stupid. It's too much trouble to bother with.
Inaccurate
and you just burn through bullets.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, but it's really good.
Oh, that's cool.
Sorry.
No, I was going to say maybe like on bosses you switch to dual wield, or does that even help?
No. The bosses, a lot of the bosses so far have been robots, like very large, almost like Ed 209 kind of robots.
Awesome. That was
the key
right
to
there.
Them are these Tesla grenades.
Ooh.
Yeah, they throw out like an EMP, and that's you kind of got to aim for the eye kind of thing, or like in Star Wars, and just aim for the red dot.
This is an EMP grenade.
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. There's EMP grenades in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Like Smallville.
Except they're called Tesla grenades. Yeah.
It's an EMP.
And I also got into the
Oh, shit. Oh, there goes my computer. Well, the EMP just shut everything down here.
Way to go. I also got into the Battlefield Hardline beta.
Oh yes, the Cops and Robbers Battlefield, basically.
Cops and Robbers. Holy crap! What a cluster F.
It's just like insanity shit everywhere.
It's 16-on-16 in a city with helicopters and motorcycles and like armored vehicles, and it's so confusing.
Real badass cops.
Like, I played it for like 2 hours, and by the end of it, it was like, I have no idea what I just did.
Did you have were you shell-shocked, had like post-traumatic stress?
Yes, I had PTSD afterwards. I had to wow. Take a nap.
It's funny. It's certain games, like when you get into them, it takes a while to kind of adjust to what's going on. And then maybe like you get like 9 kills and you're kind of getting stuff together better. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It just, it's really confusing at times.
Let me ask you this. After playing it, are you more excited about playing this
no.
when it comes out? Or are you
no.
less excited?
Honestly, I'll probably wait until it goes budget. Because it's really? Just, unless the story, if there's a story in it, is good. Yeah. It's just the multiplayer is so hectic.
You know what? While I was watching that, I didn't think about it till after we did the E3 show, but the Bad Company characters are retired and now they're back in the States and then they need money and they pull a job.
That would be great. I would go for that.
Oh, man, that would be so awesome.
I just want those characters back. I think that they really screwed the pooch when they left the characters behind.
There's gold in them hills!
Yeah, they need more gold, Bill. That would be awesome.
Haggard.
Well, we have a bit of voicemail. Why don't we play it and we'll see what these guys have to say. What do you say?
Yeah.
Yes.
We have Patron Ross here. Let's check it out.
Hello, fellows of Entertainment Landfill. This is Ross of the Bay Area of California. Just calling to tell you I really enjoyed the show, and I'm just enjoying the consistency. It's awesome. It makes me happy. It makes me feel like I'm in my mid to late 20s again. So there you go. Thanks, guys.
Now I feel old.
I was thinking about something you guys were talking about last episode, where you're talking basically about the theaters and being excited about, you know, whatever, them putting whatever 3 letters next to the theater, and it's like, oh, it's like an XD theater or whatever. I kind of feel the same way with the D-Box. I know I've talked about it before, but it's gotten to the point where I kind of can't watch a movie without that. And it's $20, which is a lot for a movie, but I almost feel like it's worth it because it's, you know, for me, I'm seeing value there. So I saw, and I don't mean to bring this up because I know it's been a month or so since it's come out, but I saw Godzilla in the D-Box, and it was awesome. But
nice.
It was kind of interesting while I was watching it. I had a moment of clarity where I completely and totally agreed with Bill on something that I didn't agree with him before. And I'm not trying to bring this up to hash out old memories that we've all tried to bury and kill, but back in the day when he watched The Dark Knight Rises and there was that episode and he was saying, oh, I had a tough time watching it because it was in Pittsburgh and I know that area and blah, blah, blah. I remember thinking, come on, Bill, come on. But after watching Godzilla, I was like, well, wait a minute. I've been there and it takes way longer to get on a boat and go under the Golden Gate Bridge and have a bomb explode than 5 minutes. It takes no less than an hour. So it completely got me out of the movie for that part. And I know that's not that big of a deal, but I'm like, well, it doesn't take, you know, 2 minutes to get from Market Street down to the ferry building. That's ridiculous. But they did it anyway. So I completely and totally understand now, Bill. I feel like
I can't
we're
he remembers
of
that.
The same hive mind or something. You know, we should hang out.
We should.
I don't know what I'm saying. Anyway, I'll talk to you guys later. I appreciate the show, and I hope you guys have a good one. All right, guys, bye.
Whoa! I got the D-Box hooked up, Bill. Whoa!
Now, I haven't experienced the D-Box yet. I'm jealous.
I have. That's what I call my toilet when I have diarrhea. Oh, goddamn, dude. Sorry. I don't think there's anything around me that has the D-Box. Release the Kraken.
Goddamn, dude.
And okay. Bill stopped the show with that.
I'm sorry.
No, and it's quite all right. But it's not really a box unless you were in an outhouse or something, you know. It'd be more like the D throne or something, the D chair. You're a recliner? No.
I've seen recliner toilets.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm. French fried potatoes.
No, nothing to do with French fried potatoes. But what do you have to say about that? Ross now agrees with you that the Godzilla pulled him right out of the film when he was in the Bay Area.
Well, it just happens when you're familiar with an area. It kind of you can't help yourself.
You start to
overthink
things.
They mentioned
the Bay Area in Godzilla. I was like, hey, that's where Adam is.
Oh yeah,
Adam's in danger.
Adam and
Ross is in danger.
Hope their houses are okay.
What was the thing? Mudo is going to trample their homes.
Yes.
Scary.
What did they call it? Mudo. Yeah, M-U-T-O.
Yeah, Mudo. Okay, we have another voicemail, a rare Rick Gutierrez voicemail.
Holy shit.
Let's check this out.
Gentlemen, citizens of Mulberry, do you guys still call yourself that? I don't know. Hey,
sure.
It's Rick from Fort Worth. Long time no call, so I figured I'd drop you guys a line. I went and saw How to Train Your Dragon 2 with the wife and kids last weekend. And
awesome.
There's a certain scene. I don't want to get into spoilers, but there's a certain scene that's become the subject of a lot of controversy. I don't know how deep into spoilers you guys are willing to get with it, so I won't say much more than that. But what did y'all think about that scene if you guys saw it? I know Jason did. So, yeah, what'd y'all think? That a really dark scene in the movie, and did you guys cry as bad as me and the wife did? So, yeah. Otherwise, hope all is well for you guys, and, stay in touch. Keep the show going. Great stuff, as always. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you, Rick. Now, I had to actually clarify with Rick what he was talking about exactly. I thought I did, but I just want to say, were you talking about this? And we talked about it a little on Facebook. So I don't want to spoil anything. Bill, I know you saw it. You saw the film. And we'll talk about that more in entertainment. But I know that we both enjoyed the film, but there is a very dark moment where something bad happens in the film. And yes, tears were shed, especially by my daughter, Emma.
And you know what? I know we're going to talk about it later, but actually, after I saw the film, I got kind of angry.
That it happened?
The way it was handled.
Right, okay.
We'll talk about it more later, but just, I was a little, not disturbed, but,
why
I don't think it was handled right.
Why did it have to happen that way,
That way, but also, just in the storytelling sense where you're switching out characters and stuff like that. It didn't feel honest after a while.
Okay, I gotcha. All right, well, we'll talk about that in the next segment after an Adam Sexton voicemail. So let's check out what Adam has to say. And let's go ahead and do this now, Steven, because it's driving me crazy. Could you please let the dog out? She keeps ringing her dog bell to go outside. Thank you, Steven.
Her dog bell. Is that her collar?
No, she has a bell next to the door.
No way. You trained her to ring the bell.
Yeah, it's one of the first things we trained her. So, like, if I was in bed or something and she needed to go out, I would hear the bell, and she still has it. And
why didn't I do that when instead I got dipshit over here barks at me?
But now during the show, I hear that ding, 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 ding. I'm like, ugh. Okay, well, Adam voicemail. Let's check it out.
Hello, Entertainment Landfill crew. This is Adam Sexton. Just dropping you off a voicemail saying hello. Hoping you've had a good week and a good day as the week comes to a close. And good luck on tonight's episode. I'm still trying to wrap up work, but hopefully I'll be able to get off in time to get home and be in the chat room. while the live stream is happening. First off, I've actually got some more Lethal Weapon movie mini feedback. I don't know if this will be a recurring thing for me, but this is all your fault. I guess this is a weird way to put this.
I love it.
Good observation on the use of David Sanborn and Eric Clapton in the music score, you know, how their instruments correspond with the main characters. And it almost sounded like the two of you were confused about which instrument corresponds with what character or which character. And it sounds like I always thought David Sanborn's saxophone was focused on Murtaugh, and Eric Clapton's guitar was focused on Riggs. So,
right.
But good pointing that out.
Hey, I wanted to pause it right there. I think we knew that, but I think sometimes both of us, we're excited to keep talking about stuff, and we kind of just blew past that.
Yeah, we're just thinking out loud, throwing that out there.
Right, yeah. Like,
because it's a constant battle. I think I even said that in the show, that it's...
Yeah.
It's like this fight back and forth and, between the sax and the guitar.
We didn't really get that much into it, but basically, yeah, the Eric Clapton guitar is Riggs, and the sax of David Sanborn is Murtaugh, and it kind of brings it together later. It's really cool the way they do it, and then, of course, it gets run into the ground as the series goes on.
Yeah, and it also, it starts to get run into the ground during the film itself, because it starts to get into the goofy thing, like the...
I wouldn't say that in the first film. I'd say on repeated viewings, but
yes,
not the first time.
That's what I mean. I don't mean, you know...
Yeah. That's one thing we had to emphasize as we kept watching it. Like, we're talking about we've seen it 100 times.
Yes. More times than we can remember.
Right.
And, second option... I agree with you. Slow motion scenes for the first two movies are just terrible. That seems like bad post-production slow-mo, like they didn't properly shoot it in slow motion during filming. You can say a lot of things about Lethal Weapon 3, most of them negative, depending on your point of view, all of it negative. One of the few positive things you can say about it is that it looks really good, and it actually has decent slow motion. And that's what happens when you hire Jan de Bont to be your cinematographer. So good on that. You talked about the Lethal Weapon 2 script, how in Shane Black's original treatment, Riggs was supposed to die. And I think he should have, not because of how bad Lethal Weapon 3 and 4 turned out, but because I kind of felt that that cheapened what maybe Shane Black had in mind with that character. You got a character who has had a lot of tragedy in his life, spent a lot of time in the company of death, tempted fate so many times that eventually it's got to catch up with them, and maybe it's that whole notion of the man that lives by the gun must one day die by it. And of course, we all understand a studio's desire to keep a franchise going, especially if the movies make money. And it's not a really that big of a deal, but kind of wishing they would have had the nerve to kill him off, and you basically would have like two really great buddy cop action movies with, if they went the original plan or the way that Shane Black wrote that second script, you would have had a superior sequel as well.
Absolutely.
You were playing clips for, I think it was like Hell's Kitchen, and there was that, you had some sound clips for one of those, I guess it was Ramsey had sent in a message to all the cooks, and it was in the form of two people rapping a message, and the rapping was so bad. And I could have sworn were going to play a sound clip of Murtaugh trying to rap. That was what I was waiting for, and it didn't happen. So maybe that slipped your mind, but I couldn't get Danny Glover, you know, trying to rap once those sound clips started coming in. But I mean, you know, funny use of those clips, regardless. This next question is regarding video games. Last week, in the chat room before the episode started, I asked Jason if he ever uses his Xbox 360 anymore. And He told me that it was unplugged, and the only reason he would ever use it again would be to play GTA 5. Now that GTA 5 will be made available for the Xbox One and PS4, do you plan to upgrade to that? Because apparently you can transfer your save file over.
That'd be pretty cool.
And secondly, do either one of you, or even Steven, if he's a gamer, do either one of you ever use your last-gen consoles, or are you sticking with current-gen, sticking with what's new? Just wanted to get an idea on where you stand on that issue. Anyway, that's all I've got. Once again, I hope you continue to get more people to subscribe to your Patreon account. It looks like you've had some more contributions since last week. Good luck with tonight's episode, and I hope to see you all in the chat room. And y'all have a great day. See ya.
Oh, it's Roger.
I'm going to find a Fodger, because my name is Roger, and I need to be a Maja, and a Sequin Hodger, and a Huda Hana Hana.
Do you need some help?
A Huna Hana Hana?
You know what's funny is, in the show we bring up how inappropriate at times it is when it comes to homophobic remarks.
Right.
And in that rap, I think we totally glossed over that to the kids, like, my name is Terry, I'm no fairy, and it's like, wait a second. Huh?
I wondered, you know what, it's funny because I did notice that when I was doing the clips on the show, and I was like, she means like fairy princess, right?
I thought that was the boy doing that.
No, it's the, oh, okay. Well, it's the girl.
I don't know, man.
It's Rudy Huxtable.
It's still really close to being inappropriate.
Yeah. I did want to answer your question, Adam. If I do want to hook up the Xbox 360, kind of, because I really would like to finish Grand Theft Auto 5. And I had started Arkham City. And basically, I'd started playing Arkham City, then Grand Theft Auto 5 came out, and I started playing that, and I didn't go back to Arkham City, because it was kind of annoying me anyway. Like, I talked about that before, how there's so many places you can go. I was just like, oh, where do I go? But I kind of would like to finish those to finish them.
Yeah, I know a lot of people think that Arkham City is superior to Arkham Asylum, but I almost feel like while Arkham City is a vaster game, it's overwhelming. Like, well, there's too much.
I like to play as Catwoman. I do too.
I like to look at her butt.
Yeah, she's wiggling her ass.
Yeah, I love that's the animation that they like went. You know, someone spent a lot of time on that butt jiggle.
We gotta get her ass perfect, guys. No one is going home until we get this ass right. Okay.
I kick on the 360 once in a while. I know I started playing State of Decay and then lost interest.
State of Decay.
Yeah.
I kind of want to hook it up into my in the bedroom. And I would just, like, sit in there and play it sometimes, and Heather would be like, where? Jason? And I go, oh, shit. I've also thought about hooking it through the the Xbox One. I was about to say the PlayStation 1.
that little thing.
The Xbox. But there's nowhere, like, look at that, Steven. There's nowhere to put the Xbox 360 anymore. So either
you
that...
You need a new...
Hook it up and just move it away. I've also thought of this, Bill, hooking it up to my computer monitor.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. In fact, I had my Xbox hooked up for the computer monitor for the longest time, and I think if you get the one you have is good. It's got like a 2 millisecond delay on it, so it's actually better on a computer monitor than it is a TV. There's less delay and it's a little sharper, but
I'm honestly lucky because I've heard of people having problems with delay, but I've never had a problem with delay that I've noticed. You know, I see people like on forums say like, I can't play games or first person shooters. There's too much of a delay. And I've never noticed that.
Well, they blame the delay on the fact that they suck, because the delay is really never that bad. For the longest time on my plasma down here in the historical library, I didn't have game mode on and didn't even realize it.
Right.
And now that I have the input calibrated for game mode, I use that. But I don't think it's really that big of it's like 10 Maybe 30 milliseconds. And what is that in the grand scheme of things?
I don't know.
You know, it's a blink.
All I know is if I pull the trigger and the gun fires, then I'm good.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, well, that was our voicemail. Let's go ahead and get into entertainment, guys. What do you say?
Let's do it.
All right. Sounds awesome. Woo!
How come I can't get no Tang around here?
I don't know.
What in the world?
It's the long version. You guys heard this. This was like in the early days of the show. This was the long version of entertainment. I just thought it would be funny. It's hard to believe that was that long.
That is really long.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? For I don't know how many shows until I was like, this needs to be shorter.
Let's get to the entertainment.
Yeah, I just thought that'd be funny for old time's sake. Now, I did, Steven and I saw 22 Jump Street, Bill.
Okay.
And if you want to talk about, you know, what's funny is they kind of make fun of that. Like, we were talking about Lethal Weapon. There's a lot of, like, gay jokes, like, kind of like they're a couple and there's mistaken things like that throughout the entire movie.
Jonah Hill just got in trouble for that.
Oh, yeah, for calling some paparazzi
the
F word, yes. And I think the movie has a fun time with it. I wouldn't know if it's offensive or not. It didn't offend me or anything like that. Do you know what I'm talking about, Steven?
Yeah.
Where, you know, everyone thinks they're gay or they love each other and stuff. It's kind of fun the way they do that. And the movie's really funny. I thought it was really funny, and I had a good time seeing it. What about you, Steven?
Yes, it was real fun to watch. Laughs, lots of laughs in it.
Laughs aplenty?
Yes.
And I tend to avoid comedies in the theater because I hate that people laugh too loud and I miss the next line.
Like I laugh too loud and miss next lines because I was laughing.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Stupid.
I mean, I liked my favorite part of the first Jump Street was the Korean Jesus. Like that, I was in tears laughing at that. Like
yes.
Praying to Korean Jesus.
Yes, there's a funny bit with that again. There's
oh,
a
nice.
Lot,
but funny. They moved across the street to 22 Jump Street.
Right. There's a lot of funny jokes about it being a sequel, which is funny. Like, we've got more money and for no reason. You know, we've got a bigger production values and all this stuff. It's pretty funny. It's good stuff.
I'll definitely check it out. I enjoyed the first one. So I've been so busy lately that when I decided that I would see movies, I went to see Edge of Tomorrow because I've been desperate to see it.
Right. That's what we were talking about last week, is there's three movies I really wanted to see. I saw two of them. I didn't get to see the third one, which was Edge of Tomorrow. But now you and Steven have both seen it.
Oh, my God. I love that movie so much. I'm going again on Sunday to the IMAX with a friend because I just – after the movie, I was texting you like, man, I wish you were there. We'd be high-fiving as we went out. That was just – I'm pumped. I want to shoot shit. Yeah.
Did you get to see it in a very big theater the first time?
No.
Was in a little shitbox theater?
I saw it at the Dirt Mall Theater. And at the Dirt Mall Theater, you have two sides. You have the old theater complex at the right and the, like, four big stadium screens at the left. I was all the way at the end on the right. And it was maybe, like, 50 people capacity.
Oh, shit.
But it was at 10:30 at night, and I was the only one in the theater. So I felt like a millionaire. Like, yes, I'm in my personal home theater. The sound was great, super loud.
That's good.
I mean, I had a blast. I couldn't go to sleep. I came home and immediately started rereading the book because there were little things like just lines. That's what they borrowed from it, was just lines. Everything else is almost completely different. Like, they were like, okay, this is a really great premise. Let's use the premise, but let's not use the story.
Right.
So, yeah, I loved it so much. Like, it's one of those movies that when you go there, it is just so perfectly put together that to kind of capture the way Tom Cruise does well with humor and action, conviction. He is a superstar because he does so well in these sort of films. Mm-hmm. And it's so much fun. It reminded me, it's like I said, it was the first time that I felt like I watched a movie that I thought I like played. Like it felt, after I was done with it, I felt like I had just played a great video game.
Sweet.
Like it's that involving. It's so much fun. I cannot recommend it enough. See it before it leaves. I know it's got IMAX exclusivity right now.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
I'm sure it's out of there next weekend. So
yeah.
This week.
That's the thing. Like when I saw How to Train Your Dragon 2, remember I was bummed out because it wasn't in XD, but I found it in IMAX. So
yeah.
I went to see it in IMAX and I noticed that in that same theater, like they showed How to Train Your Dragon twice during the day. And
yep.
then at night they showed Edge of Tomorrow twice. So I
yeah.
need to go to one of those Edge of Tomorrow showings. And I'd love to see that this weekend because I don't think there's – I have no desire to see Jersey Boys this weekend.
No. Steven, take him to see it, please.
Okay.
I enjoyed that movie so damn much.
Where's that theater?
It's actually at the AMC, the Parks. And what's funny is – that they have the IMAX there. I'd never been in that theater. I'd been into all the shitty corresponding, you know, theaters in the mall. Like it goes in like a horseshoe pattern.
Over
I swear
here.
I've been to every single one of them except the giant theater in the front. I'd never been in that.
The one at Arlington?
Yes, okay. At the mall. And it is the size of XD, basically. That's
yeah.
what it,
nice.
And a lot of people say, like, I'm sorry.
Well, I was worried that the sound wouldn't be good or something like that.
No.
But when it started that cool 3D thing, the IMAX, like you were talking about, the preview of IMAX, like, powering up. Like
yeah, you shoot through the circles, like the 4, 3, 2, 1.
Emma was going, whoa,
yeah.
you know, like that. And I was like, oh, this is going to be awesome. And I have one complaint. And
yes.
And I will bring a chamois with me when I go for my glasses. The glasses I got were on a rack. They weren't
yes.
sealed in plastic. And they had thumbprints on them.
Yes, that's the thing. You have to go... when you go to the IMAX and it's on that rack before you go in, you have to look for the rack that hasn't been picked over, normally all the way at the bottom or all the way at the top.
Is it still the Real D?
Mm-hmm. I believe so.
I told you what I did. I bought my own.
Mm-hmm.
No, you cannot use the Real 3D glasses in an IMAX theater.
IMAX 3D, so I guess it's
yeah,
different.
Yeah, the IMAX 3D glasses are actually two different shades.
Oh, okay.
Because I've tried to use the Real, because I have clip-ons for the Real 3D, digital 3D.
And they won't work in IMAX.
And they will not work in IMAX. You have to use the IMAX.
Well, see, I have a little chamois I use for my, you know, eyeglasses. I'm going to have that in my pocket.
Yeah, make sure you take that with you. But IMAX, even if that theater is what they call, like, faux IMAX or IMAX light,
uh-huh.
it doesn't matter because an IMAX theater actually has to live up to IMAX expectations. Like, you have to... It has to be a certain brightness. It has to be
right.
a certain loudness, you know, volume level.
Its brightness was excellent.
Yeah, and that's the best thing about IMAX is how bright the 3D is. When you take off your glasses, it's actually too bright. You have
right.
to put them back on.
Right, and How to Train Your Dragon looks stunning. It really did.
Oh, the depth of it. Like, it's not even like the, you know, things flying at you sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's the you feel just totally immersed in this world.
When the movie opens and it shows Hiccup and Toothless just flying, and they're flying around and stuff, that whole flying sequence, it was just like awesome. This is like a 3D, it could be a... highlight reel. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, goosebumps.
And I love when they show Hiccup and he's got all this cool gear that he's created in between the last movie and this movie. And he's got this cool thing on his hip. And I was like, that looks like a lightsaber. And finally, when he pulls it out, it's just like, whoa, that's cool. When you see what it is, it's pretty
yeah.
cool. Very inventive, his technology and stuff that he's come up with. He's very steampunk, isn't he?
He is steampunk. I like that they progressed it 5 years. Like,
yes.
they're no longer teenagers. They're young adults.
Yeah,
and,
it was really cool.
They let things develop.
And like we were saying, something tragic happens in the film, and... it's really sad and stuff. And like you were saying, it upset you the way that they did it. Or I was just kind of like this. You know, yes, it was sad for the story, and sometimes things like that happen in a story. But I was thinking, why did that have to happen? Kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Because
well, that was my – I thought it felt cheap that they were this one character's here now, so this one character can go. Or
oh, yeah, yeah. They replace one character with another. I know what you mean. But yeah. Also, I hate that they put this kind of action on the weight of another character's shoulders.
Exactly.
It made them responsible when they were innocent, and that I thought that was terrible.
And you can never truly, in reality, you never forget something like that.
Right, and it made me think of, have you ever, the prayer for Owen Meany?
Yes.
This is kind of a strange thing to mention. It was also turned into a movie called Simon Burke.
Yeah.
But they didn't spend a lot of time on it in the movie. But in the book, Prayer for Owen Meany, these two best friends, one was a little dude with a lot of problems, Bill.
Little dude with a lot of problems. That's just about the perfect summary.
And I got that from David Spade. But basically, one friend kills another one's mother on accident.
By accident, yeah.
By accident, and it's complete accident, and it's really sad. And
that little goofy kid with problems.
And it was kind of like that, where you do forgive the person, it was an accident or whatever, but at the same time, do you really?
No.
I don't know.
It taints that character now, and they've put even more responsibility on that character's shoulders by the end of the film.
Yeah, and I forgive the character. I do. For it happening, but it's just a bummer.
But it's like when a dog snaps.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, it didn't sit well with me. Like, I would rather watch the first one than watch the second one again. It affected
really?
Me that much.
Oh, not me. I'd really like to see this again.
I mean, it bothers me. I don't like seeing stuff like that.
Right.
And I just felt like it could have been handled better, especially whenever they give you this moment of, like, this song and it's really happy making, and yeah. Then they kick you in the balls.
Yeah, yeah, they
and
do.
And it made me angry. It made me knee jerk, like, screw you, movie.
Well, also, like, I think once you see it more, you'll get used to the fact that it happens. It'll kind of be like sad, like, you know, it's coming up. But it made me hate the bad guy all much more. Like, oh, they got to get this asshole, kind of thing, you know?
Sure, but why couldn't the character have lost both legs, you know, not actually died, but had something happen that made him unable to perform the function he did for so long. And now he's got to learn a new way to live. I just thought it could have been done in a better form.
Well, I got to hand it to them. They made a decision where some serious shit happened.
Yeah, it's a hard decision.
And it's in a kid's movie, and they had balls to do it, you know?
I don't disagree.
I mean, my daughter she had tears gushing out of her eyes, you know? Not just a regular cry, but like
a sobbing, affected cry.
And
yeah.
I was like comforting her and stuff. And I was pretty upset too, but I was like, I can't let the waterworks go. It'll be worse or whatever. But How to Train Your Dragon, fun for the whole family.
Yeah. It's a spectacular film. It's
really
well imagined and well shot, and the 3D is gorgeous. And
I like that things happen and there's repercussions and stuff. You know?
I agree. It's just one of those knee-jerk things where characters that I love are somehow affected in a way I thought could have been handled better.
It's kind of like in a movie. Say you watch a movie and, like, this is I'll just say this. When an animal comes into harm, you either go with the movie with it or you turn on the movie.
Yep,
it's kind of
couldn't yeller. Say it better. Couldn't
yeah. I remember, have you ever seen that, what is that Robert De Niro movie where he's a producer in Hollywood? It's called the...
Wag the Dog?
No. He's like, it's like Sean Penn is in it. and they're screening the movie in Cannes, and there's a part where these goons are like beating up Sean Penn, and all of a sudden his dog comes to rescue him. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
And then the gangster goes, shoots a dog in the head. The whole crowd in the theater goes, oh, mm-hmm. and everyone's like, boo. And they like just people are like leaving in droves. They're disgusted by this film. And
you never kill the dog.
Yeah, and they're trying to get Michael Wincott. I believe he's the director, isn't he? Okay, we gotta let the. You can't kill the dog. Can't. No, it's my artistic integrity. Nobody likes the movie. You kill the dog. You know, it's like that, and that's what it's kind of like. You either there's certain things that you may lose your audience, and it's a danger.
And it has everything to do with mindset. You know, I've dealt mm-hmm. with a lot of death in the past couple weeks, and it, mm-hmm. you know, it just, I'm not ready for that.
Right. Also, you know, one thing I do know is the main character, Hiccup, I do believe he can handle anything that comes his way.
I think that things are learned and lives are changed. It's hard to talk about in a
I know when it comes out on Blu-ray, we'll mention more about it because people have seen it more by then. But let's go ahead and get in what's on our TiVo and talk about a few things and then take a break.
Okay,
all right, let's do it. TiVo. Okay, Bill, I hate to do this. We just got to do it one more week. Or let's just do it until the show's canceled. What do you say? Here's a brief moment from the Wil Wheaton Project.
Oh, God.
You know what's funny about this little bit?
I'm going to cancel our show.
This is you and I talked about on the lunchtime show where I was complaining about news stories. Remember that? And one of them was that, is it called Jupiter Rising? The new Wachowski's
Jupiter
movie?
Ascending.
Jupiter, yeah, not rising, ascending. Yeah, you can't use rising anymore. It's ascending. That would be a good Batman. Batman ascending, the Dark Knight ascending or something. But, okay, what I talked about in that news story was that they were delaying the release of the film from July to February, right?
Yeah.
And we were talking about how everyone's going to go, that means the movie sucks. They're putting it in a graveyard, that kind of thing. And basically, the Wachowski said they needed to work on the effects and stuff. Now, you've seen the trailer to the film, have you not?
Yeah.
Do you think the effects look finished in it? Like, it could use more work?
Honestly? It could always use more work.
Yeah, yeah.
An effects-heavy film like that.
Right. Are you excited about the film?
Absolutely. I love space opera. Give me space opera.
Right. I don't even know what the film's about, honestly. But
it looks like kind of almost like a Men in Black 2 kind of thing, where there's a woman on Earth that doesn't know she's a princess. And
right.
They have to go save her. And
these bad guys are after her, but these guys show up in time. Kind of like Terminator, you know, Sarah Connor, something like that. There's a guy from the future there to save her. Kind of. I don't know if I'm just filling in the holes here.
Yeah.
But let's see what Wil Wheaton's writers have come up with this, okay?
Yes.
And also afterwards, there's an they covered the same Aaron Paul story we did.
Okay.
Remember that? But I don't understand the joke, Bill. So let's go ahead and play this. Let's check it out.
A lone hero. Is after all bounty. An intergalactic conspiracy and a woman who may be the key to everything. Jupiter Ascending. See it this July.
Wait, I've just been told it's been delayed.
Next February. Next February? That is not a good sign. The studio must have really hated Tatum's weird ears.
We need firepower.
Oh, well, just look at these random explosions.
See it next February. Although if they thought you would, it would still be in July. Or see it on Netflix a month later. I don't care.
Welcome back.
In video game news, Aaron Paul stars in a new commercial for Xbox One. In this commercial, Aaron says Xbox On, which seems to be turning on viewers' Xboxes, whether they like it or not.
Xbox On.
Yo.
While this is a problem in the United States, other countries are having a slightly different problem with the Xbox.
Xbox On? Xbox on. Do you know what? You Microsoft and your Connect.
That goes on for 3 hours.
What, was he German or something? I don't understand.
I think he was just trying to use different ways of saying it, different dialects.
Oh. Okay.
It's not really funny. It's just obvious that the guy doesn't have the feature turned on, so he's screaming at a box that's not going to turn on.
It makes it worse that what you're watching isn't funny and there's a crowd laughing at it, doesn't it?
Yeah, and Will Wheaton just has the worst delivery of any host like that. I mean, I've always felt that Chris Hardwick was kind of smarmy, but Will Wheaton is just like, he's not funny and he's kind of arrogant and irritating.
Well, yeah, like Joel McHale does it perfectly the way he does it. He's kind of
because he's self-effacing.
Yes, he does it perfectly. And I mean, it's not Will Wheaton's fault that Joel McHale's better at this, but I've always had a problem with the way Will Wheaton enunciates everything perfectly. It's obviously it's obvious that he's very into speaking properly, which is fine, but if I start to notice that he's wording everything like this, I'm like, oh, it starts, it's like sucks me in like a vacuum where that's all I notice.
He's the annoying geek from like the AV squad in high school that although you had many things in common with, you couldn't freaking stand because everything had to be done a certain way, or he like kind of felt superior.
You had to wire the coax a certain way or braid it.
I can't stand him. Like, I'm sure he's a very nice guy.
I'm sure that we would have many things
to talk about.
Do you have any problem with him personally? Would you want him to die or anything like that?
Absolutely not.
No. You're just saying that he does not entertain you.
No, he's grating.
Well, I didn't make a clip of this because it was too grating, Bill. They did a funny Brady Bunch Game of Thrones song. It was so bad that I couldn't ever hear it again as long as I live, kind of thing.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
How bad was that, though? Seriously.
It was just stupid. It was a waste of time. It was like somebody went, hey, I have this idea. Let's just throw this together. It'll burn off 30 seconds of airtime.
They probably worked a long time on it, too.
They probably did.
That's the problem. You know what the one bit he did with the girl from True Blood? That was mildly amusing, where you guess what's going to happen, how someone's going to get killed. That kind of shit, funny.
But even he overplayed it to the point where she looked at him like, what is your problem? Like, he was like a theater geek who was like overselling it.
Yeah, he's excited to have his own show, I guess.
He really is.
Yeah.
How come I can't get no Tang around here?
I don't know why you can't do that.
But I will continue to watch the hell out of that show just so that I can hate on it.
Have you been watching it, Steven?
Yes, I have been watching
it. Are you just like, ugh?
Yeah, it's kind of
it's
groan-inducing.
Yeah. Sometimes there's moments where something will be a little funny, but it's mostly...
You can see where the humor should go, maybe.
Yeah, it's mostly all bad.
I can't remember what it was, but I giggled at something at the beginning of the show this week.
I know they did a Game of Thrones thing at the very beginning where it was talking about the season, and I can't even remember what it was.
Yeah, it was so not memorable that I can't remember what I laughed at.
The only thing I remember is the what happens next bit.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's the thing with the Game of Thrones Brady Bunch song, it was so bad that, like I said before, when you hear the crowd laughing at it, you're like, why are you laughing? You shouldn't reward them for something that isn't
There's
funny.
A sign flashing that says laughter.
And I would, admit it. There's some times where I watch Conan, I'm like, this bit was a dud or what.
But the best is when Conan recognizes that and calls it out. Then it becomes funny.
If Will Wheaton goes, ugh, forgive me for that, that sucked, or something like that, self-deprecating or something, goes a long way. It might win you over, Bill, if he maybe hated himself more, right?
Yes, absolutely. When you have to have a certain amount of self-loathing when you're that...
Don't be proud of yourself, and don't laugh at the bad jokes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You can laugh at them as long as you realize they're bad jokes.
It's the same thing as Arsenio. Like,
you
Arsenio laughed at the jokes he was telling too often. Like, he would go, and it would be like, dude, it's not funny. What, you shouldn't be laughing at something that's not funny. It's not sincere, you know?
Right.
Quick, somebody get Prince on the show.
Okay. Well, guys, we're going to take a break in a second. Let's just get Hell's Kitchen out of the way, okay? What was funny about this week's episode, Bill and Steven, is that it was a complete disaster. Am I right?
Oh, my God. It's one of those moments where I think Gordon Ramsay actually reconsidered, like, what he's doing with his life.
Well, you know, basically he has a Hell's Kitchen calendar. Previous winners have come up with awesome recipes that they won some, you know, they did some kind of prize winning meal on the show.
Right.
Yeah.
And basically he said to his contestants that whoever does the best in this will get December, the month of December, and they will automatically get the black, whatever that's called. Chef jacket. And so they're all competing for that. There's only one problem. They're all horrible. Everything they do. And I do agree with that guy, Jason, that guy Paul is an asshole.
Oh, Paul was always an arrogant tool bag.
Yeah, when he shows up, he looks like he's still arrogant. And I love that dude Jason's like, hey, Paul. And he's like, hey, what's up, guys? He doesn't, like, look at him or anything.
Is that the one who got swapped over to the red team?
Yeah, he's Paul? The big dude with the beard, the red
That's
beard.
That's Jason, right?
Yeah, Jason. No, Paul is like the little squatty ball-shaped guy.
Yeah, he's the Italian guy.
He won one year on Hell's Kitchen, and I don't think we were rooting for him or anything. Oh, he just seemed like...
Well, I like the skin of his teeth.
Yeah. And so it's funny because Jason's like, hey, I was on that season that he was on. You know, I kind of know him or whatever. And that guy just didn't really acknowledge him at all. And it's kind of funny how badly he talked about his meal, too. Let's go ahead and check this out, guys.
Showcasing the month of September, he is still heading up the kitchen at BLT Steak in New York City. Please welcome back Hell's Kitchen 9 winner.
Did he win that job?
Needham
at BLT Steak?
Oh, yeah, apparently he's not big on moving on with his career.
I remember him.
It's an eggplant involtini with crab and mascarpone and rigotta.
Rigotta?
It's actually quite nice.
Thanks, Chef.
You're an actual cook. Good to see you. Welcome back.
Morning, Paul.
Morning, guys.
First up, Jason, please. Let's go.
Good afternoon, chefs.
Good afternoon, Jason.
Good to see Paul again.
Great to see Paul.
All right, so here we have stuffed halibut with goat cheese, crab, and shrimp.
Is that spaghetti underneath, or it's just...
Yeah, some capellinis.
I don't really get the capellini, to be honest with you. I think it just looks like you threw something on the plate just to add a starch. It's just very plain and boring.
Wow, coming from the BLT Steakhouse.
He was at f***ing season 9, and he's still at
Ross, out of 5, how would you judge Jason's dish, please?
I'm going to give you a 3.
Dana, how did that taste?
Everything's kind of coated in a lot of butter.
Yeah, not thought out properly.
It's the Paula Deen method.
Sorry. Paul, please.
Buttered racism.
I'm going to go 1.
1. Wow.
1. Paul, go f*** himself.
For me, it's a 2 as well.
All right, well, thank you all for your input. I really do appreciate it. Thank you. Wah, wah, wah.
Jason, let's confirm one thing. You'll definitely not be the month of December.
Thanks, Chef.
You're welcome.
Why did he tell
him
that?
Scott, present your dish.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, Scott.
You? Before I go into the dish, I just want to say it's nice to see you. I'm glad there's life after Hell's Kitchen. I'm afraid there's a graveyard in the back.
There actually is.
There is? Oh, okay. All right.
Scott is a kiss-ass and is just getting on my
nerves.
It's pan-seared sea scallops, poached crab with some tarragon butter.
Judges.
It looks really good, actually. I like the contrast between the purees.
The scallops were cooked nicely.
Well, I tried.
And what is the yellow on top? Is that a pickle?
Pickled heirloom carrots.
Well, it's kind of ballsy to pickle something in 45 minutes.
Scott has a reputation for taking risks, so there's no holes barred there.
Mr. December, here it comes.
Paul, what's your number, please?
I'm actually going to go with the two. The pickled carrots, there's no pickle. They just taste like carrots.
Oh, really?
Rock, what would you give that, please?
I'm going with a three.
Dana, for you.
I want to keep giving the same thing, but I think I'm going to give it a three.
Lacking seasoning, which I didn't expect. For me, it's a three. Thank you.
Thank you, chefs.
Thank you.
11 out of 20.
Oh, nice trying.
he's got some sour grapes there, doesn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, if you suck. You know, I think that guy actually had probably the best dish of them all. And they were grading conservatively. They all said that the scallops were perfect and all that. But I don't know. Everyone's so awful.
Yeah, he said he tried to pickle some carrots, but they didn't taste pickled, so a two.
And if you're being given December, why not try to do something Christmassy?
Yeah, that's that one guy tried to, but he's just so bad.
Yeah, and everything about it was awful.
I got to play this clip of him. What did he have, a rack of lamb with two right there?
Oh, but Melanie, she put raw flour in her potato, in her
in her mashed potatoes.
Instead of putting more potatoes,
right,
she puts flour.
I made a clip of that too, and let's go ahead and check out this. And with each one, as each person comes up and he's tasting it, Gordon's like getting more embarrassed by how bad it is. He was like trying to reward them something awesome, and they're
the last, what, seven?
Yeah, and they're all screwing everything up.
Next up, Melanie, please, let's go.
I'm watching everybody go up and get, like, beat down on their dishes. Like, ones, twos, threes, ones, twos, threes. I'm like, they are not f***ing around with their judging. Hello. Okay, so what I have for you is a marinated rack of lamb with a little bit of red wine, rosemary, garlic, a creamy basil-infused mashed potatoes with red wine.
Ew.
And flour, raw flour.
I'm sorry, what is
Why
this
Why didn't you
again?
Say that part?
It's a basil-infused mash. It's very, very gluey.
This sounds like raw shoe pastry.
I think you should add raw flour to it. That's a no-no.
That's not going to be good for you. The puree underneath is inedible.
What's in there?
Basil, roasted garlic. And I put a little bit of flour to hold it because it was like soup.
What? Why would you put flour in mashed potatoes?
Damn. Melanie, I can only tolerate so much. What an embarrassment. Right, I'm going to fire down the line. Number, please, out of five.
I'm going to have to give it a one.
A one. Damn.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go. I'm going to go with one also.
For me, it failed, but I don't want to eat a dead horse. I'm going to give it a two.
Okay. Right.
Yeah, I'm disappointed. One. All right.
Thank you. Wow.
Despicable.
That was
Let me remind
bad.
You, all of you, on this calendar, these are the best dishes in the history of this competition. Right now, it's a disaster.
December will be the worst.
This is the worst I've felt since I've been here. We have to step it up.
Gabriel, let's go.
Even though I'm nervous, I still feel confident in my dish.
Hello.
All right. How are you all?
Hello. You should not
Where's
have
the rest
any
of comments.
Yeah. Roasted rack of lamb. The
it
sauce is.
Is
just stop for 2 seconds. You're going to bring me the rest of the rack of lamb in the kitchen there. Why would you put two chops on
it? I don't get it.
Gabriel freezes up at the last minute and thinks that he's pressed for time, so he just freaks out and doesn't put anything on the plate.
Why would you not put that on?
I was down to like 1 second, so that 1 second to cut it or the 1 second to take it off, I decided to make a professional decision to leave it off.
A professional decision.
5 minutes.
I understand, Chef.
My instructions, every time we enter those challenges,
least professional
get your proteins
decision.
On.
Yes, Chef.
Should we go straight to tasting and forget the presentation?
The lamb actually overcooked.
I love that
yeah, the
sound.
Lamb definitely does look like it's overcooked.
Did you slice and then re-sear?
I had to, Chef. I put it back together, but I put it in and then when I pulled it out,
Chef.
That's what I had.
It was raw. I'm incompetent.
Yes, Chef.
That bit you left off, that we can't judge.
It's cooked perfectly. Unfortunately, I'm struggling to give you a one.
Yes, chef.
Thank you.
Back in line.
Wow. And right so now, is I'm Joe Namath. Look on the calendar.
Wow. Disaster. And you know what ended on a to be continued with that one girl, and she's going to have a perfect meal, isn't she? That's how it's going to begin.
Well, she said she'd never cooked anything on that plate before.
I love that. Why did you make this? Well, I wanted to make stuff I've never made before. And they're like, what? And they show Gordon just turn around. He's kind of like wants to bang his head on something. But did you guys see Scenes to Next Week?
No.
No.
Oh, my God. You guys did not see this?
Is there a shooting?
Okay, this is what they set up, and it's absolutely ridiculous, and I know it doesn't happen. They're creating,
is there a fire truck?
They show that one contestant on Hell's Kitchen wants to get even, and he's like, Jason, it's like Jason, he goes, Paul shouldn't have dissed my meal, and all of a sudden they show him eating, he goes, oh, and Rock goes, dude, you okay? He goes, and you hear someone go, I think he's choking. And they show Jason, and he's like, he deserves it. And all of a sudden, they show an ambulance.
Yeah.
And it makes it seem like Jason, like, poisoned him or something.
Oh, my God. He gave him the strangler.
Now, I made I made a clip of this just so I kind of explain, because it's kind of hard to tell what's going on. But just listen. And I love the idea of an ambulance also, because you know it's not going to happen.
There's always at least an ambulance or a cop car or a fire truck in that stinger for Hell's Kitchen.
And you never see them show
never.
Up. Never.
It's stock footage.
All right, check this out.
Next time on Hell's Kitchen.
Paul can go himself.
Will one chef take a grudge?
He's going to love what I have in line for him this time.
Way too far.
You all right?
Is he choking?
Oh my God, he's dying!
Yeah, so basically,
I love the evil laugh.
Jason kills Paul. Next episode, and they also show Minnie Driver. She's going to be in next week's episode because she has some kind of benefit there in Hell's Kitchen.
Oh, and that's a disaster.
There's a part where she goes, "I would like to eat something," and they show Gordon say, F off outside. And but they make it look like he says it to Minnie Driver, and it's hilarious. And you know that doesn't happen.
Go out with your circle of friends.
It's so bad. But that's what I love about the show. It's ridiculous. But guys, let's take a break, and we'll be right back after these messages. What do you say?
Awesome. Yes.
What you got in there is good to eat.
You know, television today has something for everyone, but every program may not be for everybody. Plan your family's television viewing and watch the programs with your children. Then discuss it. That's important. They can use your guidance and suggestions. Remember, television can be shared by your entire family and enjoyed more. Watch what happens together.
Come be together.
This is old Tony. Bring the camera in close, honey. We love chocolate chip cookies. So when the pack of soft kind came out, we tried them. No rave reviews till now. Duncan Hines came out with a brand new cookie that's making bacon history with luscious morsels of chocolate. Look at this cookie, honey. Mm-mm. Compare the other soft cookies to the new Duncan Hines. Believe Pearl, honey. These new Duncan Hines chocolate chip cookies taste better than all the rest. Pure ecstasy.
Juicy fruit, the taste is gonna move ya.
soaked through, you need more power to cut through. The protein power of New Era Plus. This tough grass stain is made of protein, and protein gets out protein. Now Era has more power to even cut through the ground in dirt below. Nothing gets out every stain, but now there's New Era Plus. Protein power to cut clean through.
There's a whole new way it moves today. Places to go, go, people to see. You gotta keep up with your feet.
Yeah, yeah.
You can keep on moving with tricks. Chocolate caramel satisfaction. Like crispy cookie, get you back in the action. Twix,
Twix, Twix.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sticks of Twix, get fixed.
Yeah,
Twix, get your motor humming while you're yum, yum, yummy.
Keep on moving with Twix.
It's circus fun right in your bowl, and you're gonna wanna come flying. For horses and hoops, balls and bears, elephants and lions.
Huh?
Horses, hoops, balls, bears, elephants and lions. Wow. New circus fun cereal. Crunchy red hoops, speckled balls, and many marshmallow animals. Circus fun, a spectacular part of this complete breakfast. New circus fun cereal.
Crisco oil's light taste brings remarkable lightness to salads.
Remarkably light, ooh, delightfully light.
Today's Crisco oil is remarkably clear, remarkably light. But it's really Crisco's light taste that brings out salad's true flavor with no oily taste and no cholesterol.
Deliciously, Crisco oil light taste sets the flavor free.
Come on, there's breakfast to be spotted.
This is a job for Crunch Power. Crunch away!
Oh, can anything stop these soggies?
Crunch Power can!
Yes, it locks delicious sweet taste in, so it's tough to sog out.
This is right up your alley.
Oh, my gosh! Captain Crunch is a crunchy part of a balanced breakfast.
I'm going to strike.
Hey, Mac!
That's Toucan Sam.
Whatever, Mac. I took a wrong turn last night. I'm starved. Where can a guy grab some breakfast?
Your wrong turn was right. Fruit flavors will satisfy your appetite. Come follow my nose.
There's got to be a shortcut.
It always knows. Ah, Kellogg's Fruit Loop Cereal with natural orange, lemon, and cherry flavors. Part of this complete breakfast with a full day supply of vitamin C. Want more?
Sure, Mac. Fill her up. It's a jungle out there.
Creamy peanut butter's gone. Whoppers! Gone crazy with chips. Got all rolled up and crisp. Peanut butter boppers. It's creamy peanut butter, a crispy coating, and a whole lot more. Peanut butter's gone. Boppers! Peanut butter boppers. New from Nature Valley. What a snack!
Sawdust and spectacular, danger and daring, a world where seeing is believing, and once upon a time is now. For every child who dreams of being a part of it, for every adult who shares that dream, you've got a date with the greatest show on earth. Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus is here with the world's greatest animal trainer and the sensation of the ages, the living unicorn. It's the one event the whole family can afford.
At Tulsa's Convention Center, August 19th through 21st. Tickets available at all Carson attraction outlets in the convention center lobby.
You can imagine a rock lord world where the forces of good and evil are fighting to survive, each sold separately.
Rock lords, rocks that come alive, rock lords fighting to survive, living rocks with strength and might, rising up to crash and fight. Rock lords, powerful living rocks.
Rock lords, rock vehicles, rock gnarlies, and rockosaurs, each sold separately. New from Tonka.
It's a crisp you can't miss.
Crisp
you can't miss.
Can't miss.
It's crispy. Whipped and raisin.
Honey touch flakes that stay crisp and delicious from the first bite to the last.
It's a crisp you can't miss.
Crisp you can't miss.
Can't miss.
The crispy part of this complete breakfast.
It's crispy. Whipped and raisin.
It's gonna be a Golden Grahams Day.
Look, it's
first.
The kiss of golden honey makes you smile and wanna say,
tastes like honey, Graham crackers, crispy, crunchy all the way.
Oh yeah!
It's gonna be a golden Graham's day.
Tastes like crisp honey graham crackers. It's a golden part of this nutritious breakfast. Now we're rolling.
It's gonna be a golden Graham's day.
Kid, what's the difference between a mountain lion and me?
What, Sue?
2 inches. Run, kid.
Time for a powerful Cheerios breakfast. A balanced breakfast like this one.
You gotta go with Cheerios. Energy-os that help you grow. You gotta go, go, power with Power-os. Coming on strong with Cheerios. You're feeling your Cheerios.
A Cheerios breakfast.
Before a night on the town, or after a show, the Rock Backstager is where Jen goes. The Rock Backstager, Jen is truly
outrageous. Jen's Rock Backstager. Outside, it's a rock and roll speaker. Inside, Jen keeps a wardrobe and accessories. And there's a real speaker you plug your own music into while Jen gets ready for a night out with the hologram.
Now it's a city.
Jen's Rock Backstager, Jen's wardrobe, and Jen and her friends sold separately from Hasbro.
Jen. Live from Hollywood, it's the Betcha Bite a Chip Show, starring me. And now, I'll be the first contestant to bite a Chips Ahoy cookie without biting a chip. I bit a chip, but I'm cool. Hey, it's like a chocolate chip party going on here.
Sam, your homework.
Chips Ahoy, original in the blue bag, new improved chewy in the red. Betcha Bite a Chip.
The day Birdie the Early Bird learned how to fly, starring Ronald McDonald and friends.
Look, it's Birdie.
Long ago, on a day bright and blue.
Wubble, wubble.
Oh, Ronald, I'll never learn how to fly.
We'll help you. You flap your wings while we toss you up and down.
So she flapped, and they tossed, but...
I'm still on the ground.
Hamburglar gave her a balloon, but it went boom. Then Grimace had a plan.
How about a fan?
But nothing worked. She couldn't fly.
Oh, Birdie, don't cry.
I'll walk. That's the way it'll be.
Try once more, just for me.
And me?
Bubble me.
I'm trying for you. Trying for you. Oh, I'm flying.
So Birdie flew in true early bird style. Up, down, for miles and miles.
Wow, flying is grand.
Birdie, we miss you.
Okay.
It's a good time for the great taste.
Now who's gonna teach me how to land?
Oh, at McDonald's.
Oh yeah, we're back. How come I can't get no Tang around here?
I don't know. We're going to run to the store afterwards, Homer, okay? Now, Bill, did you get to see this week's MasterChef?
I watched a little bit of it, but I fell asleep.
What about you, Steven? Did you get to see MasterChef? Now, everybody, I guess, is hating on Courtney. Now, I believe she's the one that is the exotic dancer, right, Bill?
Yes.
Yes.
And the girl named Aran... wants to, it's funny, there's a part where Joe talks to her and she goes,
"Ron, so far away."
they are playing favorites, and he goes, "Oh, you're saying we favor her?" No, that's not what I'm saying. You know, no, that's exactly what you're saying.
Yes.
And she wants to go after her, and that's pretty much what this clip is. And, you know, they give her the option of doing muffins, making everyone make muffins, cookies, or donuts. Which would you have picked?
The harder of them?
I was thinking
donuts
that
would be the harder.
I thought donuts would be the hardest. So she picked right, I thought. But you never know. They could screw up cookies
or
anything.
You have chosen wisely.
So let's go ahead and check out. I took a baby's rope away from her because she was being a nuisance with it. So now she's crying.
Poor baby.
I need a trank dart just during the show. Go and just.
There's that calm stuff. It's called Pet Calm. You put it in their little bits of food. It's basically got valerian root in it.
just spray it in her face.
Yeah.
So it's like coated on her face. She's like,
and then you set it aflame.
Oh my God.
That was dark.
Wow. So let's go ahead and see how Courtney handles making some donuts. Time to make the donuts.
I made the donuts.
Hi, Ron. How are you doing?
Good.
Yeah? What are you going with?
I'm making a spicy Asian-style seafood stew.
What shellfish? I see some fish heads.
Oh, for this, I'm going to use scallops, crab, and shrimp.
Now, you're the youngest competitor that we've ever had.
Yes.
And you're also somebody that we haven't seen.
I'm going to make a bowl of crawdads.
Yes. I definitely am reaching for the top on this one.
Who is the strongest cook in the kitchen right now?
The person who's really proved themselves to be an amazing cook is Willie.
Like, from our side, we see Courtney as being kind of the front runner. You don't agree with that?
Honestly, it's just a little bit of favoritism with her.
You're saying that we're favoring
no,
her?
No, I think that.
That's exactly what you said.
She hasn't really shown
no,
much.
Don't step back. You said we're favoring her?
Yes.
Why would we favor her?
That's what she said.
I don't know.
I don't
She's
know.
A great cook.
Finally, I'm about to show you one of the country's most favorite treats. There are thousands of stores across America that sell these. Perfectly fried and delicious. All American, beautiful donuts. Look at them.
America,
wow.
They can be nice, filled, have different flavors.
It's wonderful.
The sky's the limit.
Little
as long as they're delicious
bars.
And perfectly cooked. So, Iran, who do you want to take out of the competition first?
Honestly,
I want to take out
Courtney out of the competition.
Why?
Maybe because I go to high school and I deal with a lot of fake bitches all the time.
Oh my God.
I can sense something from her and I don't like it very much.
Do you think you could take her out?
I definitely think I can take Courtney out.
Interesting.
Two shots to the back of the head.
I'm
tap,
screwed.
Tap.
I just started over. I'm remaking my dough because I forgot to add eggs to it. I have to start over all over right now. And I don't have any yeast. Elise, did you grab any extra yeast?
No, I'm sorry. I only got the two.
Francis Biondi, did you grab any extra yeast?
No.
Do you have any extra yeast? One packet, two packets?
They're all lying.
I'm basically shouting down the line to anybody that might have yeast. And no one will give me anything. Did you grab any extra yeast?
Nope. Even if I had yeast, it's highly unlikely that I'd give it to Courtney.
Do you have any extra yeast?
No, no more yeast.
I see Courtney running around like a fool, and all I can really think is, my plan's working. Goodbye, Courtney. Do you have any extra yeast?
Sorry, honey.
Francis.
What?
You have the whole kitchen in here. Do you have any extra yeast? I love you. Thank you. Honestly, Francis,
I'm gonna
what
do
the
a
hell?
Dance
you just
you.
Messed with my plan right now.
First up, Courtney. Let's go.
Be interesting.
Why did Francis do that?
If you forget the most important ingredient for donuts,
don't call
then you're
Francis.
Kind of stupid and you should we'll go. I want to get that girl out of here.
First of all, no heels.
I had to do a lot of running today.
They're salty.
That's your heels salty. Are salty.
Ah.
Why am I licking
your
heels?
Put salt in place of sugar.
That is a mistake. I did not purposely put
That's a
more salt
mistake,
in it.
Yo.
I can tell you it tastes weird.
Yes.
It's like you've lost your heels,
like
you've lost your mojo. You've peaked. You won the last dessert challenge. Is that you now on the descent?
No, I did hit a large bump. I picked everything up and kept going, and
yeah,
I didn't
sounds
give
like
up.
You're bump sliding the down the aerial faster than you got up there. What a shame.
It's hard for me to love these donuts. It's hard for me to even like them.
Clearly, her Little Miss Perfect streak has been broken because her
Honey.
Donuts taste like
Yeah, they taste like shit. Why does that girl hate her all of a sudden? Did she
Well, that's just girls.
Just girls being girls. Hey, are you picking up any of baby whining in the background?
No.
That dog is... She's so sad right now, Bill. I took her...
Oh, now I'm hearing it.
Aww. Poor baby dog. Okay, Steven, give her the rope. So we're going to have to hear her yapping the whole show.
Give her the rope. Don't give her the rope.
That's true. Maybe we should. Maybe we shouldn't.
Give him the stick. Don't give him the stick.
Okay. Well, MasterChef, that's a lot of fun. I can't wait till next week where they do a big production when they arrive somewhere in the desert or something. Now, let's talk about 24, Bill.
All right.
Now, the end of the last episode, the president, William Devane, the great William Devane, he talked to Catelyn Stark, and he decided, yes, I'm going to turn myself over to you, and you can kill me, right? But he needs Jack's help, And here in this scene, he explains to Jack everything, and he just might yell in Jack's face.
Awesome.
Let's check it out.
You don't understand, Jack. This lady's got a stone heart.
Jack, I understand we're running out of options.
We're not giving up, sir.
But there's no real reason to be optimistic.
The percentages are not in our favor, Mr. President. I'm sorry.
Don't apologize, Jack. You're the only ones even come close to catching Alvarez.
I can't hear you, Jack.
I need you to do something for me, Jack. Something you're not going to want to do.
Mr. President, I'll do whatever you need.
Stop whispering. I'm hard of hearing.
A few minutes ago, I spoke directly to Margot El-Harassi. This is a reporting of the relevant part.
My offer is simple. I'll surrender myself to you at a time and place of your choosing. In return, you agree to destroy all of the stolen drones.
He does.
Be at Wembley Stadium in the center of the pitch by 7
p.m. Mr. President, they're hiding something.
What?
I'll be there. I want you to be aware of the soul of your husband.
Speak up, Jack. Put a mic on that guy.
I'm buying.
I swear on the soul of my husband.
Hiding.
I will destroy
it. I ordered a pizza.
Once you are dead.
We have an agreement. I'll be there.
Sir, I won't presume to lecture you. But it is a matter of national policy. The United States did not negotiate with terrorists.
What? This is not a national policy issue.
Why are we whispering?
This is my letter of resignation, effective in an hour. That makes this a personal decision, not an act of state.
Mr. President, there has to be another
way.
Sounds
like a semantic argument.
I'm listening, Jack.
But speak up.
If she doesn't keep her word,
then the world will peg her as a liar and a hypocrite. It'll discredit her and everything she stands for.
Sir, I admire your willingness to sacrifice yourself in order to resolve this situation. But no, I will not be a part of this. We are still running the numbers. There is still time, and there is still a chance to stop this.
Numbers. The four is coming up on the three. It's getting closer.
Jack, I've been diagnosed with Alzheimer's.
I actually laughed out loud when he said that because of Jack.
I've known it for 6 months.
What did I just say?
And in another year, I won't recognize one face in the room.
Oh my God, you just made me think of something. I'm sorry, I had to pause the clip. What if this would have been great when he goes to the soccer field and he's waiting in the, you know, he's basically done a very noble thing. He's letting himself die so no one else has to. But what if when he's on the field waiting for the drone to come to kill him? He goes, what am I doing here?
Time is it? What?
And right then, wouldn't that have been just tragic, though?
It would have been wonderful.
Before it becomes public knowledge, then I will be forced to retire.
Mr. President, this isn't just about you.
I know it's not just about me.
Whoa.
It's about those dead bodies in the hospital parking lot. It's about the thousands who will die the next time she attacks. And you and I both know that she'll attack again.
If you were standing right here in these
shoes
in my position, you would do the exact same thing.
What was I yelling at you about?
Face it, son, you and I are the only chance.
Why is my throat so hoarse?
That was
Why
great.
Is there a horse in here?
So basically, Jack's going to help him. But first, he's got to call Yvonne Strahovski to tell her to wake up the daughter who's in a coma. And it could possibly kill her, waking her up. And I swear they've done this before on 24 a long time ago. But I can't remember when.
They do it in a lot of movies and
but
TV shows.
I love what Jack tells her right at the end of the phone call. Bill, let's check this out.
Morgan.
What's the status on Simone?
It's the same.
Damn it, I told you. You need to push the doctor.
Jack, she's not going to tell us anything if she dies.
Where
she
am I going to push you?
Now it's not going to matter. Look, things have changed here.
What do you mean?
This needs to stay between you and me.
Why are you breathing so heavy?
President Heller has agreed to comply with Margot Al-Harassi's demands.
I don't believe it.
Well, you better believe it.
She wants 14 large pizzas.
Within the hour, he's asked me to help.
The only way we can stop this from happening is to find Margot fast.
So wake the bitch up.
Whoa.
Ouch.
Love that. Wake the bitch up. Bitch. Wake up!
Okay, so this woman's automatically a bitch, and she's basically caught between a rock and a hard place. I don't think the bitch label is kind of appropriate, Jack.
Well, she did technically kill the girl's mother, though.
She didn't mean to. The woman ran into her knife.
was an accident.
It was an accident.
We did see her jam a knife into a guy's ear earlier in the season, though.
She slipped.
It was an accident. You're right. She was doing
it. She
pushed
on a urinal cake.
Yeah, it was slippery in the bathroom. But I can't wait.
Smartass took it out of the urinal.
I thought it ended really cool with the explosion, and then it's over. They didn't show anything else.
Man, somebody's going to have to pay for Wembley. And who left the light on?
Yeah, well, maybe they turn it on at night.
This Motel 6?
It's like a nightlight.
Oh.
But I seriously.
It was supposed to be a late night match.
That
would have
been so great if he was like, what am I doing here? What's
going on? Oh, there should have been a match going on, and he has to walk out in the middle of the field.
What's the president doing? That
we've got a substitution on the field.
Takes out David Beckham.
Oh, that would have been wonderful.
All right, let's talk about Defiance, guys. Defiance is back. And better than ever.
Defiance is the lovely.
I enjoyed the first episode. I thought it was funny they showed a hellbug bill, because it's almost like they don't even bother with the creatures anymore.
Yeah, I think they had to use a little bit of the past budget on that.
But basically everything's changed in Defiance. The E-Rep, the Earth Republic, have taken it over. And who's this new slimy mayor, Bill?
Mayor Fancy Pants.
Mayor Pottinger or something like that.
Hello, I like your little cloaky brooch. He's very proper.
Yes, he is. And we also had our favorite guy from Die Hard.
Professor Hathaway from Real Genius.
Yes, Real Genius.
He hates popcorn.
Ghostbusters.
He's also dickless.
Dickless, that's right. He is dickless. And Thornburg, of course, from Die Hard.
What is he? He's, is he like prime minister or something? He's
like some kind of head Earth rep guy, but I'm not sure
like
what
a
his
UN
title.
UN type guy?
But he's like
the headless dickman.
Like how the one guy explains, he goes, why do you antagonize him? And he goes, he respects who he hates. You should remember that. I love big bioman, simple guys.
Every time I see the bioman, I think the Nightkin from Fallout 3. Because they're the big mutants, but they're blue.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, he looks like he's from Fallout 3.
Are they friendly?
That's kind of awesome.
Because the biomen seem kind of gentle also, in a way, don't they?
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah, they're like gentle giants.
I'm gentle.
Big and dumb.
It almost seemed like he goes,
blue Great Dane.
Take care of those boys. Basically, he's telling him to kill him. It looked like he was kind of like, aww. Like, I don't want to.
I don't
want
to kill nobody. I just want to be loved and love others.
Those guys totally fell for the escape thing and get killed while escaping trick.
It's like Lenny from A Vice and Man. He goes home and pets and kills.
Remember last season there was a Lenny type of bioman. Do you remember that? He was catching girls for that guy.
Oh, yeah. Bioman is Godzilla.
Yeah, bioman is Godzilla. But we have Nolan tracking down Orisa in Hollywood. Did you guys like that?
Yeah.
He's full on dark Nolan now.
Yeah, he is. He's got his trench coat,
the beard,
double barrel shotgun, and then,
I like
course,
the way he holds it like he's on a hunting expedition.
And like Orisa has to save his ass. You know, he's a badass, but then they get the jump on him, like, and she's got to bail him out. So what is the deal with her? Like, you know, she's bullshits him and says that, I just got captured and I escaped. But we know, like, she jumped into this thing and she brought him back to life. I have no idea what's going
on. She's now slave to psychotic energy ball that looks like her as a child.
Yeah, and it's making her do something.
Yeah.
What was with that weird bit where she imagined cutting Nolan's throat?
I think she was she held him responsible for the awful country music.
I love that song because he talks about banging synth. What would he? It's talking about banging synth.
Across the Great Divide, or
like the different kind of alien women he slept with.
Yeah.
It was hilarious if you listen to the lyrics. But when she cut his throat, it lingered for a bit where it's like, wait, is this really happening?
Right,
just
yeah.
long enough for it to go, oh, okay, it's not.
She's having her episode.
Because when she first does it, I'm like, that's not really happening. But it lasted
but like
long
when
enough.
She followed the lady through and killed her through the.
Yeah, she's like, what do you want? Why have you been following me? And she pounces on her, and it turns out she killed her.
So
maybe it wasn't her that killed her, though. We didn't see who eliminated the woman.
I think something's going on with her. Like,
I think you're right.
Some scary stuff. Now,
well, I'm saying that's what they alluded to make you believe that little bit at the end. You know, is she capable of killing that woman? She can
there's
kill.
Some kind of killer urge inside her,
right,
and
right.
she's suppressing it around Nolan. Is what
killer
I felt.
Urge.
Now, okay, we all know that Daytek likes hand jobs. Do we?
Who
not?
Doesn't like a good hand
How uncomfortable
job?
Was that scene
at
where.
The prison?
Yeah. He's right there in that little thing, and the guy's like, no touching. And then as soon as he walks away, she's like, reaches her hand in there. He's just like, ugh. It's like, dude, there's like a million people around. What
okay.
the?
She's just exploring.
Daytek does not care, does he? He needs him some loving.
He needs a release.
Gotta get some touch.
And of course, they set up that she tells him that Alec, whatever, his son has taken control. But of course, he's soft, right?
Yeah, he's
he likes
wuss.
Collecting pieces of vinyl, Bill, right?
Mm, yeah, and it looked like they had a whole pressing system going on there.
Are they
pressing albums?
I think so, because in this scene, she went. Basically, this guy comes and says, I'm sorry, I didn't get the stuff you wanted. Just give me more time. And he's like, okay, I'll let you do it. And it's like, no.
It was like kind of berating him. I was your dad's best man.
Yeah, what he should have done is crippled him, probably. And then told him to
cut a toe off.
Yeah, something like that. But instead,
I'm
going to
put you in a family bath.
Yeah, I love the family baths. What are you doing bathing alone, mother?
It's creepy.
Why are you bathing? Why are you dropping some sort of orgasm powder in our bath?
She dropped something in her tub and she's like, oh, and I'm
How
like,
do I
whoa,
get this
cow gun, take me away.
You know, the first thing I thought is like, why is she putting that Alka-Seltzer in her bath?
No, she just needs to clear her sinuses.
So, okay.
Welcome to the halls of medicine.
Well, what's weird is the dude later comes up to Alec and he's like, here's the money. And his eyeball is hanging out of his socket. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
He didn't just get roughed up. He got roughed
up.
Yeah.
Beat
he got
severe.
Spooned.
And so Alec goes to his mom, Alec. I don't know what the hell his name is.
Alec.
He goes to his mom and gives her what for. Let's check this out.
Mom, did you order Skeever beaten?
Did you order coke?
The man at the house
Skeever?
Is addressing you.
Do you have a Skeever beaver?
It is not my place to give orders.
Of course not. You never give orders. I'll rephrase. Did you whisper in somebody's ear, Rega, maybe, and gently suggest that it would serve his best interest to protect the standing of poor Damalak, who doesn't know Stuxa Sazilono?
Shit from Shino.
You desire absolute Hanavano. Straight talk.
Yes.
So does Dolly Parton.
Your father surrendered his claim on his financial interests when he murdered Colonel Marsh in a fit of foolish temper. I thought perhaps his son could take over with the proper guidance, but you lack the strength and brutality to do what is necessary.
This is just...
Once again, the strong casteth the males falter, and I am left to open the airlock door myself.
What does that mean?
Space
the family business belongs to me.
The men will never take orders from a woman.
It's a new world, my son.
You'll adapt.
Who knows what the men may tolerate in time. But for now, you will deliver my orders exactly as I give them. You will not question me. In return, you will have money in your pocket. You will be free to pursue your music hobby or whatever else you wish.
He knows he wants to open
but
a record store.
All power will reside with me.
And if I don't agree to this, what? You lock me in a cage next to Dad?
I doubt that will be necessary.
I'll just make you take a bath with me.
I am so proud of you, Alec. Straight talk was indeed what this situation required.
It's also an excellent film.
You know, Alack is like the Castathan Jack White, isn't he? Like, he was into rare pressings of vinyl and stuff.
He has six-man records.
Yeah, that's what he wants to do. And I'm guessing that Julie Benz's character, Amanda Rosewater, her sister is dead, right? Didn't
boobies!
She got killed, right?
Yeah, she's dead.
She's got to be.
So yeah. Now she's running the booby parlor.
The brothel, I believe it's called, Bill. Or actually, what's the name of the place? It's called.
She was showing them off in this episode.
Remember. And this dog is acting so peculiar this evening. Jeez.
It's Steven.
Tranquilizer dart.
Steven's got bacon in his pocket.
But I'm so glad Defiance is back. I had a good time. It was a lot of fun.
It makes me giggle. I like it.
It's a fun show. It really is. And everyone's doing dark stuff. I love that at the end, you know, it shows the doctor, that doctor lady's going to help. She wants Daytac's help escaping. And they're sitting there, and he takes her hand and puts it in his lap. Mm-hmm. And she's like, "You want me to check for lumps?" He goes, she goes, "You're all clear."
You found it.
It's funny. There's like this sick kind of sense of humor with the show also.
He's all sexed up and she's purely asexual. I don't even think that race like has sex.
Yeah, I don't know what they do. She's
like a pinhead without the pins.
She's like, is she like part
they're genetic
reptile?
They made them.
Yeah, they're genetic creations or something.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird, but also at the end, it shows that the creepy mayor has a camera on Amanda Rosewater in her bedroom and watches her sleeping.
Oh,
and
my.
She's addicted to some kind of drug, too, right?
Well, that happens whenever you start running a brothel.
She was taking that, what is the blue stuff called?
It's the one that the dude was supposed to make, the blue crystal or
whatever. Yeah, the adrenal stuff or something. I don't know. I forget. The blue stuff, Bill.
It's from Heisenberg.
I'm going to play the Defiance game and try to score some blue stuff, Bill.
I am too. I need that stuff.
Yeah. Nice. Well, that's our shows this week. Oh, and Game of Thrones finale. That was pretty cool.
It was.
And it's gone for a year, Bill. Just like that.
I know. I had to tell my dad that, and he was so disappointed.
And, hey, did you enjoy that episode? Because it's the last one you're going to see for a year.
No! And he keeps asking me stuff, and it drives me crazy. I'm like, Dad, do you want to watch the show, or do you want me to just tell you what happens?
Right, because you could just sit there and
watch you
tell him everything,
happens.
Couldn't you?
I could.
I want to know this, Bill.
Yes.
I don't know how many books they've covered in the series so far, but how many are left that are written?
I think two.
So they have quite a bit of material to still cover before they're like, George, hello. And he's like, oh, starts typing.
Yeah, they're good for a while.
Oh, that's good.
At least three or four more seasons.
Yeah,
the way they draw stuff out and change things.
Yeah, they can draw stuff out. And they can make stuff up as they go along, too. Filler.
They have been, apparently.
Add to the story.
But that's good. I mean, I enjoy Game of Thrones, and I'm glad I caught up to it and all that stuff. It's good stuff.
You need a break in between things.
Yeah, definitely. Oh, and Heather and I really love this show called Playing House on USA, Bill. It's the
you've told me about that. I've watched clips of it. It's very funny.
The girls who did BFF on NBC, it was like six episodes and they canceled it. They sold a new show to USA called Playing House. They got 10 episodes. The first season just ended. It's a hilarious show, and it's got a lot of heart, too. I mean, it's really good, and I hope it gets picked up for a second season. It really should. Come on, USA. Give it a second season. It's funny stuff, so I think everybody should go seek it out. Really funny stuff. And Bill, how would you like to do some news?
Let's do some news.
Woohoo!
What?
second. God damn it.
You stupid.
What does she have?
It looks like a tube of hand lotion.
Oh, no! Baby.
Was that hand lotion?
Yeah, it's a lotion. And
someone's getting in trouble.
Bad dog.
Her paws are rough. She needs some.
She's like,
she needs a moisturizer.
That's all dried out. Come on.
It's so
dry.
How
come I can't get no tang around here?
I've been digging.
All right, Bill, what do we have in the news this week? Hopefully some good stuff.
All right, in the news this week, we have starting out with a story about pieces of vinyl.
Ooh.
Rocker Jack White claims his second number one album on the Billboard 200 as Lazaretto bows in the top slot with a record 138,000 pieces of vinyl sold in the week ending June 15th. Oh, my. That just sounds terrible.
That's some damaged vinyl.
Yeah, that is. There's some skips going to happen on that. Lazaretto, released on White's Third Man Records label through Columbia Records, also sets the record for the largest sales week for a vinyl album since SoundScan began tracking sales in 1991. Jack White says, "This is the proudest moment with Third Man Records. This object, which he calls the Ultra LP, appearing on Conan O'Brien... show Conan on June 11th. During some of his recent TV appearances, White described some of the unique qualities of the vinyl, like how the LP plays at three different speeds, tracks are hidden under the center label, and how side A plays from inside to outside. And it is very cool. I picked it up this week.
Stuff.
It's a great album.
Yeah, when he was on Conan, he talked about there was like this secret like hologram in there.
There is. Yeah. It's two angels.
Yeah, I looked it up on YouTube, and someone had filmed it. So
yeah,
I
it's
see
very, very cool. They just spin around. And
he's being very creative with the stuff.
Yeah, and on side B, when you start it, it depends on where you drop the needle. You'll either get the acoustic intro or the electric intro to the song, and then they come in.
He's having a lot of fun.
He is having fun, and I think that's what's important about it, is that he's creating all kinds of new things. I have yet to play the inner tracks. I refuse to drop a $300 needle on
paper. Explain that, Jack.
So, yeah.
Come on, do it.
Yeah, I really don't want to, so I'm not going to.
Wait, are you serious? The needle costs $300?
Well, then to replace the needle would be, I think, $350, yeah.
Holy shit.
But the next cartridge head I'm switching to is a $700 cartridge. So, yeah, it's expensive.
Holy shit.
Yeah, there's different types. There's moving magnet, moving coil. Each has different benefits. But, and plus, I think the inside tracks under the label, one runs at 78 and one, I think the other one's at, might run at 33. I'm not sure. But, it's a very, very cool album. Very bluesy. Pretty good. I'm not a huge Jack White fan, but I appreciate what he does in his appreciation for classic blues. Because that's really, his last album, Blunderbuss, had the Robert Johnson song Shaken on it, and he does a great cover of that. And
That was a good album, that last one, and I like this one a lot, too.
Yeah, Blunderbuss.
Blunderbuss
is my favorite, but I have a feeling that as the more I listen to Lazaretto, it's going to grow on me.
Yeah, I think I've listened to it twice now.
Yeah, but it's an expensive album. I'm not part of the Third Man Vault where you get the really cool stuff, but
I joined it and got it.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I need to, because I think there's some really cool features that he has in the Third Man Vault. But it's like a $35 album. You are not going to do this baby shit on me. You're going to be good for the rest of the show. Webster is now climbing on me, literally. Do not bark. All right, moving on. We have AMC has already picked up a second season of Better Call Saul.
I heard that.
Yeah, it's production on the 10-episode Better Call Saul is getting underway in New Mexico. AMC has given Breaking Bad prequel series a 13-episode second season order, bringing the total to 23 episodes. So I'm guessing they like what they see so far.
Excellent. I'm excited about it. It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Funny show, stuff like that.
It might be fun. From what I'm seeing, it's going to be pretty dark. I mean, they're bringing back back Mike and everyone.
They're bringing back some great characters and stuff. Yep. And one thing I got to say about Breaking Bad is that it was a serious show, but it was always so goddamn funny. It really was. Sick shit was always happening, but I laughed throughout the entire series. It was a dark sense of humor, but I love that show because of the laughter. Honestly, it was always funny.
I hope they bring back Saul's security guard, the big black guy with the small head. What the hell was his name?
The gigantic head?
I thought he had the tiny head, almost like pointed.
The guy who would fall. He would sleep standing up.
Was it Huel? Or
yeah, he would. He would be standing guard, but you would realize that he was sleeping with his eyes open.
Yeah.
Love that guy.
All right, this next story kind of made me smile. Last year, Stephen King published a mystery novel called Joyland, part of the Hard Crime series.
Hello, is this NASA?
Soon after, ebook sales for a book by Emily Schultz spiked. The mystery solution is a simple one. Schultz published a novel, also called Joyland, back in 2006. King released his book as paperback only when it was first released to honor the pulp fiction that inspired the novel. Many unsuspecting customers on Amazon accidentally bought the ebook version of Schultz's book instead of King's. Now the royalties are in, and Schultz is detailing her buying spree in a blog called Spending the Stephen King Money. It turns out King doesn't mind at all. He says, I'm delighted for her, and I'm going to order her book. In addition to posting photos of what she buys, Schultz is trying to guess whether Stephen King would approve of each purchase. Here's an example. Deductible on bumper repair, $200. Cause of damage is somewhat mysterious. We think it happened during garbage removal. Would Stephen King like it? Cars, mysterious garbage men, feelings of vengeance. Of course he would. So I'm going to have to check this blog out. That's very funny that they're doing that.
I remember when Joyline came out, I looked for the ebook, and I read that, no, it's only you got to go to a bookstore because he wanted to support brick-and-mortar stores.
Yeah, I like that. And it's funny because he was so big into the ebook thing for a while.
Yeah, he was. It was kind of an old-timey book. You know, it took place in the past also, so mm-hmm. he wanted to do that.
What's sad, though, is that some buyers of Schultz's book were confused and gave it poor reviews on Amazon,
right.
which Schultz has responded to individually in her online magazine, also called Joyland. So the negative reviews on Amazon do really hurt, especially since they're not so much for my work or even Stephen King's work. They're for a wrong product, which
right.
is...
They're not even giving it, one star because it's a bad book. Like, I read this and it sucks. It's because I thought this is... Yeah, Stephen King book.
Yeah, Amazon should really remove those. Those aren't cool. That's not nice. I'm saving this story till last here, so let's move on. Man arrested in Newark Airport for smuggling 3 pounds of cocaine in cookies.
Paul himself.
Those are some spicy cookies.
Wow.
A Guatemalan man was arrested at Newark Liberty International Airport after authorities found 3 pounds of cocaine hidden in cookies in his bag. Mauricio is a Hernandez.
Ooh,
stopped June 5th by U.S. Customs and Border Protection after he arrived from Guatemala. Rivera Hernandez was taken to a private room where they searched his luggage. Officers discovered cookies in his 3 checked bags. Inside the cookies.
Boom. Out the ass. You want some cookies? What is what?
Officers found 118 small oval-shaped pellets of cocaine. Total, the pellets contained 3 pounds of cocaine with a street value of $52,000. Man, that's pretty ingenious to cook it into cookies.
My cousin's a cokehead.
I wonder how they discovered that.
Maybe one of them ate one.
Whoa!
It's a good cookie.
then he like rubbed it on his teeth. They always did that in 80s movies. Cut open the bag of Coke and rub it on our teeth. Connecticut man was arrested earlier this month for attempting to smuggle nearly 5 pounds of Coke in handrails of his bag.
I reckon I'll have me some of the biggins.
Yeah.
Biggins.
Yes, the biggin. Next time I go somewhere and I ask for a large fry, I'm going to ask for a biggin fry.
I reckon I have a biggin.
You got damn Philly steak cheesers here.
You got any biscuits for sale in there?
In there.
In there. Here we go. This is the Swiley story in Austin, Texas. The MT Supermarket, MT, they got to change that name. And some of its employees are facing a civil suit that alleges they improperly labeled and sold Pizzle, which is known as beef penis, for human consumption.
Piss off.
Gross.
Yucky. Yeah, I mean, I've heard of drying it for dogs, but not human consumption. Ugh.
I don't want that.
The suit alleges a manager and employees at the supermarket took the Pizzle from boxes labeled inedible beef, not intended for use as human food, and repackaged it in consumer-sized packages, and then labeled it as human food.
Let me get a look at his penis.
Did they put it in it and just say human food on it? Like, oh, this is human food. It must be delicious. Pizzle.
Gross.
The suit goes on to say defendants labeled the packages to indicate the Pizzle was inspected and from a registered source. Oh, hey, this is registered beef penis. Oh. Let me put that in my mouth.
Her donuts taste like...
Judgment in the case calls for $5,000 in fines against the MT supermarket, and the employees are named in the suit.
Why were they spinning on one of those roller things like the hot dogs?
Yo, criminy.
Hey.
Ooh. I remember when I was a kid, I was fascinated by those. And my dad and I were like on, we had a cabin in North Pennsylvania, and there was nothing to eat. It was in this really hick place called Marionville. They had this corner shop that had one of those spinner things, and on it there was an egg shaped hot dog thing that was like a breakfast thing. It was like egg and sausage and all that. It was the grossest thing you could ever imagine, but for some reason I wanted it. Like, oh, that's really novel. That looks really unappetizing, but I need it.
I've gotta try this.
They always have those gross things on those spinners.
Yeah, the sausage.
Mm-hmm. I want a bagel dog like that. Bagel dog.
But how?
Hello, is this NASA?
Would it cook the bagel on the spinner?
No, you got to microwave it. Oh, okay.
All right, legendary to bring video game Dead Rising to life because no one asked for it.
Yeah, woohoo!
Is it? Are they bringing visual feature? So would that be a CGI feature?
Digital feature?
Yeah.
Yikes, that's a... I don't know.
Let's stroke a zombie back into his grave.
Oh, and they're really going big time with this. The digital feature based on Capcom's video game franchise will stream on Sony's Crackle.
Oh, dude, why?
The only thing I've ever seen on Crackle is the Seinfeld series.
Riding in cars with comedians, getting coffee.
Riding in cars with comedians and coffee.
I think I got the words right, but not in the right order.
Very close, I think. Comedians in cars with coffee?
Comedians in cars getting coffee.
Okay.
But, yeah, Crackle, why would anyone think this is successful?
That's shocking to me. But, hey, the producer of it is the Transformers franchise, Lorenzo Di Bonaventura.
You're pet kind detective. Of stupid, and you should go home.
Oh, jeez. This is going to be terrible.
It honestly is.
So wake the bitch up.
It's produced by Contradiction Films.
Wow. This is, all bad signs are happening here.
Yeah.
Keep
looking. Nothing to look for.
Here's their reasoning. Dead Rising has a built-in fan base and rich characters and plot lines that are ideal for digital storytelling.
What?
Are they Does talking it really? About? Did they play any of the games?
It has a rich history.
What? No, it doesn't. It's got a very poor history of psycho clowns that have juggling chainsaws and
it's okay. I can understand. Okay, Dead Rising 3. Make it a theatrical film. It wouldn't be any worse than a Resident Evil movie. But why straight to Crackle?
Because they know nobody's going to watch it. Because nobody watches Crackle.
What the hell's a digital feature?
I think it means a CGI feature.
Ah, genius.
All right, here's the big one. The last story. The cherry on top of the news Sunday. Huge news coming out just shortly before the show. Star Wars, Rian Johnson to write and direct Star Wars 8 and 9.
Oh, cool. Zombies are going to be in it, I think.
That wouldn't be too far from one of the books.
So what do you think, Bill, about this, Rian Johnson doing a Star Wars film?
I don't know. I'm excited by it because it's interesting. It's not what I would have thought, and he writes great dialogue. He gets the best out of his actors. I have a feeling that he'll use, you know, the regular sort of sets, not the CGI stuff. I love Looper. I don't know his history of it. I don't know. I mean, apparently if he agreed to it, he has a love of Star Wars. I think a lot of people assume that J.J. Abrams would do all three, but I never assumed that.
I didn't assume that. The only thing I think is weird about the announcement, honestly, is that he's going to do 8 and 9 together. Like, it's not just he's going to do episode 8. It's going to, that he's going to do two of them, like, right off the bat. Didn't you think that was a little odd?
It seems pretty huge. I mean, this is a big undertaking.
Bad motivator. Look,
I just question the release, the new, like how quick it was. Maybe somebody it had leaked and they wanted to get a jump on it, so they just released it.
Yeah, I don't understand why you even come out with this news right away. It is true. Like every week, new things are announced, like a new Marvel movie's announced every week or a new DC movie's announced, so it's kind of I don't understand why they even needed to even announce this yet.
It seems strange, like that Disney is they're just sort of letting everything out.
Well, yeah, they're getting ready. They want to roll these Star Wars films out really, I mean, year, skip a year and year, and then do those one-off Star Wars films. They want the Star Wars franchise to be like Marvel movies, right? Where it's like one every summer, you know?
Yeah.
And they want to be cashing in on this stuff. And hopefully it's good quality stuff.
And I thought it was really funny that shortly after the news broke, Rian Johnson tweeted the clip from All the Right Stuff where Scott Glenn says in the prayer, "Please, Lord, don't let me F this up."
Like it's R2-D2.
Yeah, I mean,
so that all but confirms it. So
he's self-deprecating, you know.
He seems like a really cool guy. So I like down-to-earth filmmakers that get involved in Star Wars.
I mean, okay, let me just analyze it like this. Empire Strikes Back was directed by Irvin Kershner. Of course, we were children then. We didn't know any better. But Return of the Jedi, Richard Marquand. How the hell did they even pick him to do that film, you know?
Farquaad?
Yeah. Huh?
Yeah. Marquand, Farquaad. I don't know.
And that guy's
tired.
No longer with us, by the way.
Holy
Yeah, I know. I just threw in that information because I knew it. It doesn't have anything
to do with it. But no, it's like what I don't think George Lucas ever intended to direct the original trilogy. So J.J. Abrams is going to obviously stay connected in this.
He said the first Star Wars nearly killed him. He didn't want to direct another one.
Yeah. So I'm not going to jump on any bandwagon. I'm not going to be all up in this. I'm
excited. I doubt
excited.
That will be necessary.
I can't react right now. Let me see episode 7 first before I start thinking about episode 8.
And 9.
Yeah.
And 9.
Give me some time to digest the fact that Harrison Ford had his entire leg broken and needed surgery.
Yeah. aren't they going to remove it and try to do a robot leg or something like that?
Yeah. You know, like some sort of... What would you call it? Like the thing that Anakin has, the cyborg arm. Now he's got a cyborg leg.
Yeah, cybernetic implant or something like that.
Yeah, something. The Bacta couldn't quite fix it.
Hey, hit the nose.
Gotcha. So, yeah, that's news for this week.
All right, Bill. Huge announcement. Thank you. That broke on our show, by the way. Not anywhere else, right?
Yep. This is the only place to get your huge breaking news.
All right, Bill. Thanks a lot for that. All right. What do you say we do some DVDs?
Let's do it.
Let's do some DVDs. Woo-hoo! Ow!
Let's do some DVDs. HD, Blu-ray, standard definition!
DVDs! Oh, hell, Yizzle, the DVD dizzles!
Don't eat pizzle!
Oh, yeah.
French fried potatoes?
But eat French fried potatoes.
Biggins.
Yeah, have some of the biggins.
I reckon I'll have me some of the biggins.
Speaking of biggins... The first Blu-ray of the week for June 24th, 2014, we have 300 Rise of an Empire with Ava Green's biggins.
Oh, Bill. All right, I can't wait to see this.
That was the sound pulled directly from the theater when I saw it and that scene happened.
Is it going to be on 3D Blu-ray?
It is on 3D Blu-ray.
Oh.
Sometimes I wish I could boldly go where no man's gone before.
Can I help you, sir?
What? I think that drops the screen.
I enjoyed the hell out of this.
Oh, yeah.
Like, probably far too much.
Did you enjoy it more than the original 300?
In a way, I did, because it was so over the top.
Stasilono!
It takes place the exact same time as the original 300 is happening. This is the Athenian sea battle that's going on at the same time as the Battle of Thermopylae.
That's cool.
Yeah, so these guys are doing this huge boat war, if you will.
Boat war.
Yeah. Well, it's a naval battle, and it's insane. It's really fun, and
I don't like boats. I don't like water.
There's really ridiculous scenes of like the character, the main leader dude. Jesus,
how is
it's been
he,
so
by
long.
The way? He's a guy from Strike Back on Cinemax. How does he do this?
Yeah, what the hell's his name? Sullivan.
Yeah, Sullivan Stapleton.
Yeah, there's a great scene of him on a horse, like jumping across the boats while all the boats are on fire, and it really uses. Did you ever see Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter in 3D? I bought that for you, didn't I?
Yes, you did, sir.
You know how it has? It really uses like the embers floating.
Oh yeah, like there's always stuff on the screen to create depth.
Yeah, that's what this does. There's a lot of depth. and it's very fun. It's super fun, actually. And I love the way they kind of handle the Xerxes character and expand on that and his arrogance of being like a god king. And it's fun. That's all there is to it. It's not a great movie, but it's fun. And it's got the greatest closing credit sequence with War Pigs. And the animation. By the end of it, I was just like, yeah! I want to stab things and blow things up.
Let's just get out of here.
Stupid nerds.
Yeah, poke that piggy, Zerk.
You did say Zerk is in the movie, right?
Xerxes.
Oh, not Zerk, but Xerxes. Okay.
Yes, but Xerxes does have a killer mullet.
So you got?
So in the action, all it's over the top, but insanely fun.
Yes.
Will it turn Sullivan Stapleton into a movie star, do you think?
No.
He's going to stay on TV?
I'm sure he'll get more movie roles, but he does an excellent job. You know, he does his best Gerard Butler in interpretation.
He's great on that show on the Strike Back.
I watched the first season, and I really want to get the rest of them because I enjoyed the hell out of it.
It's a fun show, and there's great repartee between the two characters. They're gunfights where they're just dropping F-bombs left and right.
It reminds me of how we play shooters.
It really does. Like when they run out of bullets and, you know, they're like, damn it! And they jump out of the way and they're trying to reload and they got dirt in their eyes and stuff. It's a lot of fun. It's a cool show, Strike Back.
Speaking of a show that's a lot of fun, well, no fun actually, it's Duck Dynasty Season 5 on Blu-ray.
Because
I love that there's a Walmart exclusive edition, which is so appropriate.
And stay out!
The Walmart edition? Seriously?
Yes. Yeah. The Walmart exclusive Duck Lux edition.
Hey, you want me to tell you something gross about Walmart? And this is for anyone listening.
Yeah, Walmart's gross?
I'm about to blow your mind right now.
Okay.
Okay. I buy all my bottled water at Target now.
Yeah.
If you right now are listening and you have bottled water from Walmart, I want you to do me a favor. Go and open it. Don't drink it. Just put your nose up to it and smell the bottle.
It smells.
It smells like ass.
Yeah. Ass bottles.
It's disgusting. And do it right now. I've just helped you never buy water at Walmart again.
I like Target's water. I buy it pretty regularly, but it's funny.
But get all your Duck Dynasty stuff at Walmart, though.
Yes. Oh, you got to go to the Duck Dynasty aisle. Don't smell the Walmart.
Case. Don't smell the case.
Yes, don't smell.
Oh, that crazy daddy.
Duck ass.
They duck ass.
Oh, my God.
Gross.
That's really gross, Steven. You should be ashamed of yourself.
I'm very proud.
What's yellow smell like?
Duck ass. All right, next Blu-ray is one I'm very excited about. A Hard Day's Night Criterion Collection. I'm a huge Beatles fan. I loved this movie. Saw it when I was a kid, and I can't wait to actually own it on Blu-ray in a Criterion version. So, woohoo!
Party on.
I bet it's going to have a cool like remix of the soundtrack and stuff.
Yeah, that's what I'm most excited about. Now,
I hear that can wail.
I'm debating whether or not watching it now because I think it's next week the Wexner Center for the Arts in Columbus is actually showing the 4K restoration. Or is it 2K? I'm not sure. It's one of those two. Criterion is strange on what they choose to do 2K and 4K. Like, they can do something 2K much faster and still put it on Blu-ray and it looks great. And 4K takes like three times as long and takes up much more information. There was a whole little documentary feature on YouTube on how they choose to what to do 2K and 4K's restorations on. But I digress. I'm looking forward to this.
Plasma rocks it over LCD, yo.
We have Lost Girl Season 4 on Blu-ray, and I lost interest after about the first season.
Yeah, she's lost to you.
Yeah, it's gone.
We watched the first season and started the second season, and there's a lot of episodes, and we just kind of lost track of it. It's a fun show. I like the dynamic between Kinsey and the Lost Girl character. I can't remember her name, but it's a fun show.
Succubus lady.
Yeah. Bo.
Bo, that's right.
My plan's working.
A dog named Bo. You remember that one? Probably don't.
No.
Nope.
Jimmy Stewart would go on Johnny Carson, read poems, and one of them was about his dead dog named Bo.
Jimmy Stewart,
a dog named Bo.
I'm your bro, not your foe.
Bo. Next, we have Masters of Sex, Season 1 on Blu-ray, and I only bring this up because Lizzie Kaplan.
Yes, I want to watch that show, I just haven't gotten a chance to you.
Yeah, I've only seen sections of it that involve Lizzie Kaplan.
So it's not a sex thing.
It is, actually. It's about Masters and Johnson and the science of human sexuality.
Crazy, insane sex.
All right. Sold.
Sold. Orphan Black, Season 2 on Blu-ray. I watched the first season and was just like, ugh.
Everyone loves the show. I got to watch it, Bill.
I do not like this show. And I hate to say it, but it has something about the lead actress. Like, everyone's saying how amazing she is, how she does all these different characters, and each one is individual, and, you know, and there's no bleed through, and she's wonderful.
They did that
and I'm just
Fringe
like.
Fringe first, man. They did it on Fringe.
Yeah, I just don't like this show at all.
That is cool!
I'll give it a chance eventually. The problem is BBC, they did have season one like on video on demand, but it was all standard def.
Not watching.
Moving on, we have Star Trek, The Next Generation Season 6 Blu-ray.
All right.
Star Trekery is going on here. And moving on. We have A Winter's Tale on Blu-ray, starring the girl that was on Downton Abbey.
You coward.
And the Irish guy.
Colin Farrell.
With all due respect, sir.
Directed by Akiva Goldsman.
Yeah, this movie got panned big time.
Oh, boy, did it ever. But, I mean, when you make a movie out of a book that's sort of pedestrian and saccharine, you're kind of gonna get that.
Sometimes I wish I could boldly go where no man's gone before.
What do you mean by saccharine?
Can I help you, sir?
Just a cheesy book, or
like falsely sweet, like overly sappy.
Aww.
Like the whole romance through time. Just watch Somewhere in Time.
It's supposed to be sweet.
Oh.
Yes, okay. But it's disgusting.
too much sugar.
Too much sugar, baby.
Everybody needs two things in their life. And that's sugar and that's spice, baby.
That's right.
Baby. Yeah. And that is Blu-rays for this week, because that is it. That's it. Fort Pitt.
Fantastic.
That cannot be it.
Yeah, I mean, there's just not that many releases during the summer for some reason.
No.
Vacation. Summer vacation. Nobody's working.
Aww.
You would think that's when they would release a lot of stuff.
I know. Oh, wait. You know how the Lego movie came out this week? I still haven't seen it. I need to get that shit and watch it.
I do, too. I need to get that. And there was a Grand Budapest Hotel.
Budapest. Very good.
And there's something else I need to get. Can you remind me what it is?
The new RoboCop.
Oh, no. I'm going to have to look it up because it's driving me nuts. There was something else I really, really wanted that came out last week. What is it?
Did you order
maybe it's
Steve
the Yes concert, the 35th anniversary. No.
The
owner of a lonely heart.
My favorite part of the song, it goes... That's like the best part of that song, am I right?
Oh man, I need to find that MST3K bit, because that is one of the funniest things ever.
You know what? On Netflix, I noticed they
the owner of a perfectly functional cheese slicer.
They added a whole bunch more MSTs on Netflix. I noticed. We're gonna have
yes, there it is.
Emma and I have been watched all of them, but now they added more. We gotta check those out.
Awesome. Yeah, it was during Final Justice, the Joe Don Baker film, that they do the orchestra hit that you're talking about.
Yeah, that's cool. All right, Bill. Well, thank you for doing DVDs this week.
You're welcome.
The man of the house is addressing you.
Thank you. Good night. Here all week, try the veal. And see you.
All right, that was episode 293 of Entertainment Landfill. We're inching ever so closely to 300, Bill, the 300th episode of the show. And I keep thinking we got to do something special for that. That's right. I will chant that every time I think of 300.
We're going to have to do it from the hot gates.
Yeah, we're going to go to Thermopylae and do it.
Yeah.
Crazy.
We're going to do it on boats, Bill.
It's going to be very scary to see.
Very pale. We're going to invite Xerxes on the thing. And Gerard Butler. No, I was thinking like it would be cool to like have Laura on the show. I don't know if she could, but... it'd be cool to have some guests or something like that. No, I'm just.
Yeah, we should.
I've got things going on in my head. It's things we could do.
Just
think. Oh, blow it out your stocko.
Yeah, exactly.
Orchestra hit.
All right, everyone. Here's what I want you to do if you're listening right now. If you haven't done it yet, go to patreon.com/landfill. Check out our Patreon page. Think about it. Would you like to be a patron of the show? We'd really appreciate it and help us build towards our milestone. Yes. We'd appreciate it very much and help the show grow. And we want to do lots more exciting things. And one of them is work our way towards episode 300. And I'll tell you what, this summer... okay, say you're not convinced yet. Just keep listening this summer, downloading the show, and maybe just let us try to convince you. Exactly. And you know what? Everyone gets free Tang, Steven.
How come I can't get no Tang around here?
Can't get it.
Oh, shoot. That's
because we bought it all.
We've got it in barrels, okay? So, guys, I'd like you to also go to etlandfill.com. You can find links to all of us on Twitter. I'm the J-Strom, Mulberry Bill, PCZ Steven. Steven's always tweeting all the time.
Like
he's
mad.
He's live tweeting shows and movies. It's crazy. Can you believe it, Bill? I don't unfollow Steven because all I saw was Steven's tweets. You know, it's
yeah,
crazy.
I had to actually block him for a while.
Also, ET Landfill is on Twitter. Follow there. And where I could remind you to also go to patreon.com/landfill, Bill.
Every day.
Yes, sir. We want to keep, we want to meet our milestone. And also,
shake its hand.
Hello, milestone. Nice to meet you.
I'm a stone. I'm no, miles.
But seriously, this is a part of the show. You know, last week, you know, it was funny, Bill, where it's like, should you be saying people's last names? So I will do this. How about I will mention the first letter of their last name?
There you go.
We have some new patrons, but I'm going to name all of them. First of all, Sean Yu. We all know who that is, right?
From Los Angeles.
Sean Uyoka. Come on. I got to say his name, right, Bill?
He's the master of film.
Yes, sir. I'm proud of him. And also Michael. And there is no last name, so I couldn't even use it if I wanted to. Michael from Chicago, thank you for becoming a patron. John Waltz, W-A-L-Z. And the reason, he gave me permission to use his last name.
See, now that's classy.
And now there's another one. I don't know what the deal is with this, but it's funny. Whoever thought of this, maybe you wanted us to say this name every week. Hodor became Hodor. A patron. Yes. Hodor from Game of Thrones became a patron, which is great.
And he brought my Hodor round.
I told him, thank you. Oh, God, Bill, don't bring that up. I thanked him, and all he replied was, Hodor. So I think it really is Hodor.
That's awesome. I love Hodor.
Jason P., Ken P., no relation. That's just the first letter. Kelly M., thank you so much for that message you sent. It was awesome. Also, Jenny. And what is this? Bill L. Who is this guy?
Who the
guy?
Hell is this asshole?
What is he doing on here? I don't know. But
don't even ask me why I decided to become a patron. But I like to patronize myself.
You really like the show, I think, right?
Yeah.
And also Tom B. Sruly
Tom
M.
B. Is he related to Jumbi?
No, it's Tom Space.
Mechalika Hi, Mecha Hiney Ho.
B. Tom Space B.
Okay.
Adam S. Who could that be? I think it's Adam Sexton.
Actually, yeah, he gave us permission.
Yes, Adam Sexton. We can
Adam
totally...
Sexton.
Yeah! Love Charlie Sexton. That's the only reason we play that is because we love the song. Being so lonely.
You wouldn't know that song.
Yes, I would.
No,
it's the other song. I know the song because of Some Kind of Wonderful. Wow, it goes on for a while, doesn't it, Bill? But it is quite a treat.
They really invested a lot of time in the lyrics on that one.
Yeah. Carl, Slade B, Brandon, Nathina L, Kelly, B Sly. He B Sly. Paul W, Ross P. I can't say your name anyway, Ross.
Yeah,
so
yeah, exactly.
Ross.
I don't know what he expects. Hell,
I don't want to mispronounce
Italian
it.
And I can't pronounce it.
Mike M, Jean-Francois. Mark A, Rob B, and Sam A. Thank you guys for becoming patrons. And it's
they are
awesome.
Our favorite people.
You really are. And we're going to add some more stuff next week. Special patron stuff. And I hope you guys dig it. Guys, if you want to become a patron, like I said, patreon.com/landfill. Steven, Bill, thank you guys for doing another show. We're cranking these out this summer. We're trying to give you guys as much material, but we're having fun doing it too. I love doing this show, and I love doing it with you guys.
You love doing it with?
You stupid.
I love that Homer's like, TV respects me, and he turns it on. It's like, stupid. He's like, no! Poor Homer. Can you believe that?
I feel bad for Homer.
Poor Homer.
Hello, is this NASA?
NASA?
Yeah. How did you get this number? Shut up! I love the way he goes, just shut up! I love Homer.
Shut up!
That was season 5 of The Simpsons. I think that was like the greatest season of The Simpsons, wasn't it?
I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I have 5 seasons. That's when I stopped collecting them.
Season 5 is fantastic.
I need to watch it.
I can't tell you any more of the episodes, but that was fantastic.
Wow. Ross Pogny? I never would have freaking guessed that.
Wow. I would have said Pagny or something like that.
Or, yeah. That's probably where I would have gone.
Yeah.
I think he's making
impressive.
That up. That's not
he's,
how to say his name.
He's screwing with us.
Urge to kill. Fading. Fading. Fading.
Rising?
Fading.
Rising?
Gone.
All right, guys. See you next time. Woo! See you guys later. Later,
Bill.
Later, Steven. Later.
You're kind of stupid, and you should go home.
Good night, John Boy. We'll be right back.
got any biscuits for sale in there?
Now this is podcasting.
Did you order Skeever beaten?
Shut up!
Stuxa Sassilono!
How come I can't get no Tang around here?
Wait, wah, wah, wah.
You stupid.
My plan's working.
Holy